All right, guys, listen up. Jake Helton has given us a beautiful sponsor. And I just want to tell you, man, Jake Helton's lip balm has changed my life spectacularly.
Tell us about it.
What's different about Jake Helton's lip balm as opposed to other lip balms?
You know, when you take something like Carmex, for example, your lips eventually get dry, they get chappy, you know, during the cold.
Yeah.
You know, they give you what's called lip aids.
They do give you lip aids.
Carmex, not a sponsor, by the way.
You don't want lip aids. So here's the thing.
Obviously.
When you take Helton's balm, you know, as what it's colloquially called, right? Help bomb, right?
Yes.
You know, your lips are fuller. They're sexier.
Less AIDS. Mm-hmm.
You know, less AIDS.
Less AIDS.
No AIDS.
Less AIDS.
Well, here's the thing about most
you know, you take
it. People don't know. They give you some AIDS. And here's the thing. Other companies give you a lot.
I feel bad because I just took like a thing of like lip balm to my lips before we started. But anyway.
It was health bomb.
None of us can get through life without a little AIDS.
Yeah. Hold the AIDS, you know, but like if you look, and it's all in moderation, honestly. If you don't want the AIDS and you want to like, you know, take a lip balm in stride, you know, I'm loving this product right now. It's, you know, I've gotten a lot of attention. You know, I've matched with a lot of girls on Tinder. I've taken a lot of selfies with it, and a lot of girls saw me on Tinder. It's like, are you Tommel? And I'm like, no, I'm Hiram.
Oh.
But thank you for the confusion. You know, Tommel's a sexy guy on Tinder, you know, and I'm just going on a lot more dates. Last time I went ice skating. You know why? Because the girl like saw my Tinder profile. She saw that I like pizza. And most of all, she saw that I used Helton Balm a whole lot.
Oh, that's cool.
Hiram, why don't you spare us your life story? Just kidding.
She's a sponsor, James. I just want the lovely crowd to know about our friend's product. God damn.
All right.
What more do you want?
Tell them where they can get the lip balm.
Here's where you can get the lip balm. You can go get Helton products dot.
Heltonproducts.net
To get all of them.
Kid Next Door.
Coupon code Kong.
Code Lyoko at.
Type in Lyoko in the coupon code box. Coupon code Lyoko.
Coupon code Lyoko, and you can get a limited offer, lifetime supply of Helton Balm with no AIDS included, no MSG. And that's a good deal.
No AIDS.
This
excellent.
Might be the longest one we've done. But you know what? It's worth it. We're in.
We're back.
Fellas.
And ladies,
I just want to go ahead and thank Jake Helton for his sponsorship. I've been using his product for the last few minutes now, and there's no AIDS.
You really don't feel the AIDS, right?
I'm liking that because we're gonna end up talking about Bohemian Rhapsody at some point.
That's not a good. That is not a good transition.
That's all I thought about. I was like, oh, that's gonna be in poor taste.
Yeah. That's not even how he.
Yeah,
died.
Yeah. Play me off.
That's not even how he died, right?
That is how he died.
Hiram, it's a form of AIDS.
No, he had AIDS.
It was just AIDS.
Oh, it was just AIDS. I saw
he had full blown AIDS.
Can I go on the record for a second?
Sure.
I know you guys love it when I go on the record.
For your lawyers in the future.
I'm going to go on the record and say, I mean, no ill will to victims of AIDS.
Oh, yeah, neither do we.
No, we don't at all. Now you
Hiram
made it real.
Does. Hiram does.
Damn, well, you're like, no. I make jokes about AIDS because I hate people with AIDS.
Yeah, no, of course. No, like, I don't mean it maliciously. I mean, like, you know.
Damn, I
like,
love starting it off with an apology.
Jeez, man, you have to go.
Dude, all of our best episodes start with an apology.
They're always like, man, did you like that joke? We didn't mean it.
Yeah, thank you. For all the conservative Nazis out there that's trying to, like, find some dirt for us.
To
get James Halleck.
Yeah, to get James. They listen to the joke and they were like, that's cool. They agree with us. Yeah. And then we're like, we were just joking. Shit. Shit. Damn.
Squandered
Wait,
again.
Wait, shit. They like other people? Man.
We foiled those Nazis.
You know,
foiled them.
Yeah, you know, people hate to hear it about me, but I do like other people.
I do. I like people that aren't like me. Did you know that?
Yeah. You know, I am friends with people that sometimes aren't the same as
Here's
I am.
Here's the thing. I'm going to be
honest. I've seen Green Book.
People like me annoy me the most.
It's true.
Is that true of you guys?
I'd say the three of us are just similar enough to be friends, but if we were any more similar, we'd hate each other.
Well, here's the thing. Realistically, I hate all of you.
Realistically.
Hiram's here.
Have you ever dated anyone that was so much like you it annoyed you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, seriously, it was annoying.
Isn't that annoying?
I really did.
I'm just racist towards my own race.
Hiram's only here for the money.
He really is.
Yeah, I'm only here for the kicks, guys.
He's always over there counting his bills.
And if you're here to get a really high quality ad like the one you just heard, I'm talking,
dude,
when you're talking about ad quality,
don't
you're
tell
thinking
them how much they paid us for that
you're,
sponsor.
You're thinking tip
They'll
of the iceberg, Kung Fu Kings of Geekdom, right below it, Super Bowl ads.
Dude, yeah, we're really close to getting on the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but super close. We're like inches.
A few years. We're inches from the Super Bowl.
We're inches. A few years' time, we're inches away.
Wait, what podcast are we listening to?
Guys, I'd be remiss if I didn't tell you right now after Jake queued me up that you're listening to the Kung Fu Kings of Geekdom podcast.
Dude, ooh!
I heard that this is the best podcast on the west side of the east side of the Araguchi Village.
I heard so, too. I heard that it might be time to update our iTunes description.
Wait, why?
It just...
You don't like it anymore?
No, I don't like it anymore.
It doesn't fit our tone.
I have
tone
to be honest.
Anymore.
Yeah, it does
really
not
does.
Fit
Wait,
our
what
tone.
Does it even say?
Yeah, no, now we should change our bio to...
Should
we talk about
should
AIDS
we pull
often.
It up?
Not every episode, but most.
But most.
Are you looking for conversations about Kung Fu?
And racism?
Are you?
Yeah, God.
Yeah. You will find one of those two here.
Yeah.
It's up to you to find out.
It's going
to
be heavy. Am I right?
I mean, honestly, the
Maybe.
Best kind of way to talk about stuff like this is to direct it head on and to
Dude.
Not avoid it.
Well, let's
but
go.
I
doing
to
disclaimers
all know that we're
shit.
That we're all good friends. Yeah. And whatever we say, we like to have a rigorous debate about.
And we're not. First of all, we're not Nazis, and we're not apologetic towards. And I quote: sexists, rapists, homophobic people, Nazis. And other hateful people or take advantage of people without their consent, right?
It's always funny because...
Huge disclaimer, right?
People will be like, they made jokes about it. They must be racist. And then you're like, no, I'm not. And they're like, only a racist would claim they're not racist. And it's like,
yeah.
What do I do?
Yeah, exactly. It's a
you're right,
situation.
I am.
You know what?
You're
I
right.
Am. He doesn't
right,
care. He's not racist. That guy obviously doesn't give a shit.
They go, damn, he's badass.
See, it's obviously better if you just admit that you say you're racist, you know?
Now, I know this is weird, but we aren't talking about the Oscars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a huge theme throughout the Oscars every year, it feels like, is there's a lot of, like, discussions about race that seems like the biggest thing that always happens in the Oscars.
Oh, yeah.
Especially, like, the Will Smith, like, when he didn't get an Oscar, there were no black people up, and people were...
Oh, yeah, Oscar's so white.
Oscar's so white, yeah.
Yeah. And then... this year was huge, but this year felt like huge, like in a positive way. I really liked the stuff that was going
on. Well, a unique thing about this year, if the thing that I read is correct, is more people of color won this year than any other year in history. And the best
awesome.
Part I can say about that is that I didn't think about it or notice while I was watching. And that, I think, says a lot more.
I was just like, this
is the person that deserves it.
Because...
It felt like a natural thing that's just like, yeah, this is what should happen. These were the best people.
Because a lot of people would chalk it up in certain points to pandering or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah.
really, it didn't. It felt like, oh, yeah.
Yeah, no.
They were the best person.
Yeah.
Some of the
nominations
felt like pandering.
Yeah, yeah. But I'll be honest, at the end of the day.
Other than Black Panther, what did you think was pandering?
Oh, that's the only nomination I
think. Yeah, but the thing is, and we'll get into it because we'll go one for one. We'll probably not talk about some of these very much at all. But I felt like overall, I was relieved because Black Panther did win 3 Oscars, but I felt it deserved all 3.
I felt it. Yeah. No. I was going to say that. I felt it did too because like I was like, there's no way it's going to earn Best Picture. And even if it did, I'm like, Infinity War is a way better film. And but I don't think Infinity War.
Damn it! I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
I was trying to be smooth. I keep pulling on.
Jake
this.
Knocked my phone. Oh, you cracked my screen. Uh oh.
Did I for real?
No. It was already cracked.
Okay.
I was gonna mess with you, but it has crumbs on the screen. I thought they were more cracks. But, but it's fine.
You can just lick them off. Anyway.
Yeah. We'll buff out those cracks.
All right. So I felt the inclusion of Black Panther. For Best Picture, because I don't think it was Best Picture worthy in
the
slightest. But I think like best costume design, best production design, and best soundtrack.
Yeah.
Was because like Ludwig Göransson.
Ludwig Göransson. Yeah, dude, he did the music for Community. I'm so happy.
Music, and he does music for Childish Gambino too.
Yeah.
And it's really
they probably
good stuff.
Met working on Community.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's really good. Like he's a really good
and
producer.
And he and Ryan Coogler were roommates in college.
I did not Fun know fact. That. I knew that he knew Ryan in college. I did not know they were roommates.
But I thought I heard something.
Well, I was just
anyway.
Like, I think it was up mostly for what it represents in history.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah.
I think it
more
should
so
be,
than how good of a movie it is.
I think Black Panther should be like Thriller, like the Michael Jackson Thriller music video was, where it's like it should be on the like the Congress like list of films that are culturally significant. I think it should be inducted in that, but I don't think it should be like Best Picture. You know?
Yeah, I love how much other people love the movie. Yeah. It's in a way where like. You know, sometimes everyone seems to get behind a movie that I'm like, clearly this movie is like not worth your praise, and it annoys me. But the way that it happens with Black Panther, I'm like, I get and understand why so many people love this movie so much more than I do, even though I like it a lot. Yeah. But like some people are like love it, and I can see why, and it makes me happy to see people like celebrate it so much.
Right. Now,
oh, yeah.
And so that's why I was like low key rooting for it, because it's a little bit of a peek behind the curtain. I didn't think many of the Oscar nominated best movies were that good at all.
Oh yeah. See, okay, before we get into that.
Well, I mean, they're all obviously good movies.
James
but, like,
throwing shade.
You know. I know. Before James throws shade, I want to say this for the final time so I cannot like so
never again.
So right, I can never again like address this because I'm tired of like thinking about it. While I think Avengers Infinity War is a better movie than Black Panther is, I still don't even think that Infinity War should have been Best Picture. I think at the very least that the Russo brothers should have been nominated for Best Director.
Yeah, I would say that more
But I don't think it's best. Like Infinity War is my favorite movie of the year, so that's how you know. I love that movie, but like.
It should be up for Best Animated. Because it's mostly animated.
It is a lot CG.
So, but like for Black Panther, I love this movie a lot because of what it represents, and because of Ryan Coogler, and like who he is as a filmmaker and who I aspire to be as a filmmaker. And I'm a lot critical of Black Panther more than a lot of people because it means to me that much. I've been waiting for a movie like that for my whole life. So it's like it meant a lot to me. You know, of like that it was good, even though there are parts that sucked in it.
But the cool thing to me from that perspective is like, now you're in it. Now you're going to like keep getting those, and like maybe some of them will be worse, but there's just so much potential in the future.
Exactly.
Like Marvel's doing so well, they're going to keep making movies that take place in Wakanda.
Right. It's the fact that like we even have the opportunity to have movies like that now.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
with
that's
that.
Awesome.
Anyway, let's jump into these things. So I'll just go down the list in the order that they present it. Actor in a leading role, we've got Christian Bale, Vice, Bradley Cooper, Star is Born, Willem Dafoe at Eternity's Gate, Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Viggo Mortensen from Green Book. This one went to Rami Malek, and I felt like he deserved it because, to me, he was the best part of the movie.
Yeah, because Rami Malek was incredible. I saw somebody say he didn't deserve it, and I was like, are you serious? I'm like, of the actors in these movies, now Christian Bale, to me, close by a hair.
But I didn't see
Vice.
He
was really good, but Rami Malek was incredible in this movie.
Like he really
Not only was it a feat, like an artistic feat of his, or acting-wise, to act like Freddie Mercury. It was also like him singing in that movie. I felt like he was singing, which is weird to do in a mostly dubbed movie.
Well, from what I know of the movie, from what I've heard, that it was a blend between him, that one guy, and
but I'm talking about
Freddie
even
Mercury.
When he's just singing Queen songs.
Yeah,
it looks like he's singing it.
Because he probably is singing on set. And then
there's certain moments in the movie, like when he's outside of the house in the rain and he's talking to the girl from Sing Street, and then he decides to leave and they play Under Pressure, and he's incredible in that scene.
So that's the thing about that movie overall. It's a frustrating movie for me.
Why?
Because it has so many like mistakes from like a technical standpoint, but it still keeps my attention. I want to like, because I also watched Roma.
Oh yeah, which, yeah. Well, let's boy, not jump the gun.
Okay,
dude.
All right. I'll talk about it. I'll talk about it later. We'll talk about it later. Yeah, but I was gonna.
Bohemian Rhapsody got a lot of Oscars, which yeah. I think surprised people because it didn't have like a good Rotten Tomatoes rating yeah. and all that stuff. But I don't know. Like once you go in and like for me, I was like, oh, they're covering the entire 15 years of them as Queen. That's yeah. a lot you have to go over.
Yeah. yeah.
And me personally, I didn't like, and I keep saying this, I didn't like the first 30 minutes until. They were big and they were dealing with other things because it didn't feel like there was much conflict.
Yeah,
because
he's
the first
like
30 minutes. They're like, let's be in a band, and then they're like, we're a band now. And they're like,
yeah, he shows up. He's like, I heard you needed a lead singer, and they're like, not you, Ugo. And then he sings for like 2 seconds, and they're like, you're in.
And then he does really well.
Yeah.
And also those things you said on the podcast last week, that's not true.
Is it not? Because I didn't remember, and I just read someone's Reddit comment.
Yeah, I watched that ending scene where in the stadium really closely. No, there were no pride flags.
Well, I'm sorry about that. Maybe it was the opposite. Maybe I misread it.
With his family, they said they had a whole bit about how he wanted to be a boxer when he was a kid, and they told you where he was from.
Really? I can't believe I missed that. That must have happened while I was Googling where he was from.
You were like, they haven't told me yet, and they were just about to.
Well, screw me.
Where it's like, now we'll get into the other thing at one, which I don't yeah. think it deserves, but overall, it's more of a feel-good movie than a really, really deep, introspective biopic movie where you kind of get
yeah.
to, it's more of like
I feel
a
like
mainstream
I can appreciate
fun,
that.
Like it's more fun than it is like,
yeah,
sad and like whatever, which I think is Freddie Mercury's vibe.
That's very refreshing, though. You think yeah. like a whole lot of biopics like always depict like the darker side.
And there's a cool bit at the end where, you know, inevitably he finds out about having AIDS, and he's like, I don't care. I'm not going to be the poster boy for like AIDS or whatever. Like, I'm just going to sing and like,
yeah.
have a good time. And I'm like, that's kind of how this movie feels. And all those rumors about it not dealing with his sexuality and all that, most of the interesting parts of the movie are about that. Like, that's most the second half
yeah.
of the movie.
I don't know
that's
where good. Those rumors came from once
that
I like,
was
saw
weird.
It. I was like, this is very clearly a big part of the movie, but I will say
that
like...
It feels
the,
like people watch the trailer and
yeah.
they're like, it feels like they're not going to deal with it.
Yeah,
that's
but his like. Relationship with that guy who he ends up with at the end was not well handled, I thought. Because I was like, it feels like they've been together for like 5 seconds. He's like, this is the love of my life.
Well, it's
I'm like,
more
what?
Of like, I didn't, that was like a biopic-y moment where it was just like, that's historically what happened. But,
yeah.
But it
yeah.
wasn't so integral to the movie they were
yeah.
making. They were like, we have to have this in because I love bits like when they're making fun of I'm in love with my car. That's
yeah,
like,
that made me laugh.
Because you know that the band members who helped a lot with the movie were like, dude, we know we hate that song.
Dude,
like,
they're like, hey, make fun of I'm
like,
in love
fun
with
of
my
that
car.
Song, dude.
The drummer's still around, though, right?
They're
like, he's still
around. Except Freddie Mercury.
Yeah. Everyone's so the drummer like, was probably like, dude, make fun of I'm in love with my
he's
car.
He's still like, no, what if he's still like, it's great. They're like, no,
trust
we have
me.
To make fun.
And when
of
they're on the radio and they're like trying to promote Bohemian Rhapsody and he's like, so you're here to promote I'm in love with my car. He's like, no, flip it over. And he's like, oh, Bohemian Rhapsody.
He was behind the glass like, shit, come on. That's the best song in the
He put it on earth. There.
Yeah, he was like, maybe he'll make a mistake. And we listened to that song. I had never heard that song until I saw that movie. And
yeah.
just, out of curiosity.
Is it any good?
No.
It's bad. Because I saw it. I went on their album and I saw it and I thought about clicking on it. But I was like, I have better things to do with my time.
I'll click Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Instead.
I was like, I'll click that one that they do when they're like bouncing the sound back and forth.
Oh,
that's
yeah, the Oz.
Yeah.
That's
but
the that's
the thing, man.
Thing too. It wasn't even like critiques of the movie. I just wanted more. Like, I wanted, like, the scene where they're coming up with the songs in the studio. I wanted that to be longer.
I wanted that to be the whole movie. Like, I'm like, if you give me a movie that's just, like, a whole movie of them, like, the process of them going
cool.
through creating their songs and then performing them on stage and there's no other drama, I would love that
that's
movie.
Why, that's
the
why
other drama is cool.
That's why I
yeah.
picked Bad 25, just for that reason. I love,
see,
like,
I like that.
I love movies where, like, they show the creative process of coming up with songs and, like, the meaning behind them.
Yeah.
It's like it's
yeah
yeah. So it makes
which
it
was hard too because it was like a 2-hour movie and they had to cover like I said so like their entire career and
yeah.
that's very hard.
Yeah.
So I think a big critique I would think is it felt it's like when they make a book into a movie and it feels like it's really
yeah.
fast.
Yeah. Well, or like Avatar the Last not this movie. I'll be clear here. I don't think this movie is that great, but it is nowhere near as bad as The Last Airbender. But it felt similar in the way that like. The Last Airbender, you get through the whole thing and you're like, that felt like they should have just been like previously on Avatar and they show you the whole movie. because that's like kind of how this feels, where they felt like they should be like previously on the Life of Queen, and because everything that it passes by so fast that it feels more like a recap than like you're living through.
Try watching it again, knowing what it is.
I would probably like it better again
because it feels like a musical in the way that like we were talking about the Another One Bites the Dust scene. The second time is like way more. Is just way cooler of a scene.
Yeah, and I liked all the music scenes. Those scenes I like didn't really have a problem with. And I liked the end. I liked how they were like, we know you're really here for the music, so we're going to end it and just play like four songs straight in a row, and it's going to be great.
The whole Live Aid.
Yeah, and so I was like, hooray.
Well, for me, I was like, I didn't... Here's the thing. I feel like I wouldn't have enjoyed it if I had already known who like Freddie Mercury's story. All I knew was he was the lead singer of Queen and he died of AIDS. Oh. That's all I knew about him.
And so if you were like a big fan, you probably wouldn't like it as much.
Yeah, me watching it going, oh, cool, I didn't know all this stuff. This is interesting.
Yeah.
Whoa. And now I liked it.
I didn't know Rami Malek was so old. He's like 37.
I know, man.
And he's dating that girl now.
From the movie?
From the movie. And she's and guess what? She's 24.
Shit, Rami Malek.
You I mean, honestly, snatcher. In Hollywood, like, that age really is not, like, that big of a gap.
That's a, she's 24? That's a 13-year gap. Yeah, I looked it up when I saw Sing Street, because in that movie, her character is 16.
Yo,
and I was like, am I a creep? And I looked it up, and I was like, oh, we're the same age. It's
Josh,
clean.
Like, perfect.
Josh Brolin's wife, I feel like, is in, like, her late to, like, her, like, early 30s, and he's, like, 50-something. You know?
Well, what can you do?
And they just had a kid.
Man,
dude, Rami like Malek is really a weird guy. Can we talk about that for a second?
He's awesome.
He's such like weird in a good way, but like his whole speech, I'm like, what a strange dude.
I didn't hear his speech,
but
I should watch it.
The way he talks is just so strange, and I'm like, but also, let me ask you guys
a
question.
The Egyptian pharaoh.
I was gonna say, is his casting in Night at the Museum the only time an Egyptian guy has been cast as an Egyptian character in a movie? Because it feels like it.
Oh, that's sad.
Because he's like King Tut or whatever.
Sigourney Weaver is Egyptian, right?
Guys, the guy from Game of Thrones is Egyptian, right?
Wait a second. Ben Kingsley's Indian, right?
He's Indian. Wait.
Wait a second.
Isn't Scarlett Johansson Japanese?
I thought she was Japanese. Wait a second. Isn't Emma Watson a little Japanese?
Isn't she a little bit Japanese, though?
Guys, what the heck? Wait, can I play a Japanese
person? Wait a second. Isn't Robert Downey Jr. a black guy?
No, he's an
That's different. He's an Australian guy playing a black guy disguised as another guy.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Right. You forgot about
that. But wait, is that racist?
What?
Is it racist for him to play a guy playing a black guy?
Oh, yeah, it is, but that's the joke.
Oh.
Yeah.
That movie, Hiram.
Wait, so it's a joke.
I have a question for both of you guys. Do you guys think that they'd be allowed to make that movie today?
Hell no.
That makes me sad.
You like, bro, The Office. Like, if they were to remake The Office today,
it would not be made.
It would not have been made.
Which makes me feel weird. We were watching Sunny from the beginning again. Charlie says the N-word.
Says the N-word in the first episode, and he said the N-word again in like the fucking 12th season. I think.
Yeah, like a late season. They have a whole episode where they're like they become black and they're like we can say the N-word now.
But the thing is, the weird thing about that line is that the fact that like they acknowledge it is like, oh, whoa, don't say that shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they all make fun of it. Yeah.
But they're still in the movie,
the thing, they're still saying it.
I guess the thing is in the movie, people are like, dude, you're being racist playing this character. And he's like, no. It's a role. It's a character. So I guess that's kind of how they get away
That's how they get away with it.
I guess. But
like if you acknowledge something, it's like, oh, that's fucked up. But like you make a joke about saying that
like,
is fucked
stuff
up.
All that stuff I agree with.
Yeah, if you made a joke about it saying, like, oh, man, this is fucked up.
Like,
you know,
the point is that it's fucked up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're making a point that's beneficial. But for context of this, we were just talking about earlier before the show, because we're going to talk about Green Book, where Viggo Mortensen said that word in an interview when he was talking about how it's bad. And that's the same thing, though. Because the point is that it's bad.
The difference is he's not, like, pointed saying it out. Like, to me, I think he shouldn't have said it for career reasons.
Well, yeah, duh.
You know, like, it was just like, because that's how Bill Maher got in trouble, and I don't think either Viggo Mortensen, even though Viggo Mortensen
got in trouble again.
Again?
Bill Maher got in trouble again for doing that, like recently.
How embarrassing.
Was it the last time he said it? Like,
no,
the last time
not
he said
the
it
time
was
where after he said it, he had Ice Cube on, and Ice Cube like, drilled him, and it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Another time.
How another time?
Yeah.
Oh, well, then I can't recently. Defend that shit.
Fellas.
Bill Maher, dude. He's an asshole. Right after Stan Lee died, and he was like, Stan Lee sucks.
Oh, screw that guy.
Oh, yeah, screw that guy, yeah.
Dude, let me tell you about
that. Was that good one, Bill Maher?
Let me tell you about actor in a supporting role. Mahershala Ali was nominated. Adam Driver was nominated. Do I need to do this or do I need to say who won?
Just say who won.
Mahershala Ali won actor in a supporting role, fellas. And,
again?
Yeah, he's undefeated. Twice. He's 2-for-2. Both times he got nominated, he's won.
He should have... Yeah, I haven't seen Green Book, but now I will because of all the controversy because it's interesting.
Yeah.
Because I want to see if it's really that...
I got a hot take on it.
Okay. It's
you want to hear my hot take?
Go ahead.
Wait, no, get to when it
what the controversy is?
No, no, when the movie gets the we don't want to spoil it for our fans, but
oh. What I
the end, you know what I mean?
Oh, what do you mean?
When it wins Best Picture we talk about.
Oh, oops. Yeah, we'll talk about it at the end.
We don't have to talk about
Mahershala Ali is really good in it though. I think our audience already knew. I don't think anyone's tuning in to me.
That's
like,
not
I
really
hope to
surprising.
Find out who won. I knew he would do it. He was really good in the movie. He was really freaking good. He's like Viggo Mortensen's black dad in that movie. their whole dynamic I loved because it was just like Viggo would say things and he'd be like, oh, now, Tony, you can't say that. He like the way he talked to him felt like he was talking to his son. and so I was like, this is like Viggo Mortensen's dad. It's like a dad road trip. And he's like, hey, Tony, you're going to want to be a better guy.
I like Marshall. I still haven't seen Moonlight. That's one I really
Moonlight's
like.
Very good.
He was better in this than he was in Moonlight. Because in Moonlight, he barely does anything.
He doesn't, but like I just think as the movie, it's good.
And he's great in it, but they don't ask him to do that
much. I just don't know why, because they really advertise, Marshala Ali is like in Moonlight. He was only in Moonlight for
He's like two,
really?
20 minutes.
Oh,
like, not even that much.
Logan said the new True Detective is really good, too.
That's what I've heard.
That he's in.
I've heard.
Is he just like making everything better?
And he was in Alita: Battle Angel, and he was not good.
Oh,
that movie was good, but he was not good.
Oh,
I need to see that movie.
He played. You know how did you see Jupiter's Ascending?
No.
You know how Eddie Redmayne could not play a bad guy.
Yeah, so he can't play.
He was just like
Mahershala Ali is too likable.
He's like too, and he was like hello, and you were like what? But it was funny though. You should actually see that.
He was Miles Morales' uncle. Into the Spider-Verse.
That's what I thought he was going to win.
He was?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's in everything now.
He's the new Samuel Jackson.
Isn't that weird where an actor will come in, you're like, that guy's really cool, and then all of a sudden they're in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's Lupita Nyong'o.
Yeah.
And
that was, for a little while, Oscar Isaac was in everything.
Oh, did you guys watch the Twilight Zone?
Yeah, I did.
It
was dope.
So good.
I'm like, man, I'm gonna have to get CBS All Access.
I was like, I don't want to pay for another streaming service. And then that trailer was so good, I'm gonna get it.
Yeah,
that Twilight Zone trailer was amazing.
Maybe we can all.
Gianni's in it. Who else is in it?
There's the guy, guy from Parks and Rec, Ben. From and Rec is in it.
Andy, what's his name?
Ben.
Adam
Scott. He was in. Yeah, that was what.
Steven Yeun,
Glenn from Walking Dead. Yeah. And
Is that what
Kumail Nanjiani? Dude, that reminded me of our Brylight Zones when Kumail Nanjiani in the trailer. He goes, "Wait, where's our dog?" And she goes, "We never had a dog." And I was like, "Whoa." I was like, "Shit." And then he cuts over to Jordan Peele, and he's like, "That's right."
He's like, you're in the Twilight Zone.
Yo, Jordan Peele looks like he's going to kill it, like, as the host. You
he
know
looks
what
like
mean?
He's going to kill the audience. He was, like, looking at us, and he was like, I'm gonna
and he's like, you guys don't even know what I'm about to do.
I hope every episode opens with something crazy, and then it pans over, and you know how Rod Serling would stand in the Twilight Zone? I hope Jordan Peele doesn't even stand. He's like, whatever.
What I hope is, like, it gets all serious, but it starts with a goofy intro with, like, Jordan Peele, like, spinning, his whole body spinning. Like, whoa!
In space.
In space.
And he comes through it. Hello. He comes through
the door.
Hello.
You're spinning. And you're spinning.
And you're in space.
After commercial, hello. We're back.
Oh, wait, did you like that? He always talks about the commercials. He's like, oh man, Glad Force Field bags. I love those.
He just talks about the last
Glad Force Flex.
Glad Force
Flex. He goes, Walmart grips on movie sets wear our clothes, right?
Right? Glenn from The Walking
Dead. That was a weird ad on the Oscars. You guys see that?
Oh no.
That was like there was several ads from McDonald's, from Walmart that were like all these like crew members from sets. They're like, I'm behind the scenes and I get my clothes from Walmart. And I was like, this feels insulting.
Yeah.
This feels like they're being like, I'm poor, so I get my clothes from Walmart.
Which is sad because that's a true thing.
Yeah.
Don't make that your market.
Yeah. It's like, come on, at least make people, because like everybody's had to buy their clothes from Walmart at some point.
Someone at one point in watching the Oscars had a Walmart shirt on and they go, oh.
Oh, yeah. Try to make them feel good. Be like, hey, everybody's
You're
buying
like
their
a
clothes
king.
From Walmart. That's bad marketing. I was like, what? The whole time. But
they should be like, wait, where'd you get that shirt? Walmart? Are you a rich Hollywood bigwig?
I think there was literally one that was like, I make the stars look good, and I wear Walmart. And I'm like, do you guys watch these commercials before they air?
Jonathan Walmart. Wait, who are you wearing? Jonathan Walmart.
Jonathan Walmart.
It's, what is it, Sam Walton, the founder of Walmart.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Wow. That's why Sam's Club.
Oh, I got that. I knew that had to be somebody named Jeffrey Club.
Sam, it's Sam Walmart and Jeffrey Club. They teamed up.
Stupid.
All right, guys. Actress in a leading role went to Olivia Colman for The Favorite.
I love this.
Did you see her speech?
I didn't see her speech, but I want to. You should just play it. You should
play
find
her
it
speech.
While I'm talking.
All right, I will.
I've been following her for a long time, and I didn't know. Like, it's crazy to me that she's gone all this way and gotten this Oscar. Because she started. Did I ever show you? I showed you Peep Show, right?
Yeah.
Is she in that? She was the girl on Peep Show. Like,
she's one of. Yeah, she's
and
friends
she was on
with.
That show forever.
Yeah.
And she was such a small role, and then she was in Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
As one of the cops.
She was!
And then I was like, now it's like weird. Like, you'll see her every now and then. Like, she was in The Lobster with Colin Farrell. And then.
Oh, that was the same director, so. The Favorite. Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Dude, The Favorite's great too.
I should see it.
Yeah, another one I bought that you can just check out.
I haven't given our fans context. Also, I haven't seen most of the Oscar movies. To be
honest, I'll be the window into. You'll just have to take my word for it.
Now I can give you further opinions after I catch up because I am going to end up watching all of them if you want. But
if you want,
I saw a few of the winners, and one winner I want to talk about extensively because I'm glad they won.
Yeah, but I'll tell you real quick because this is, I guess, as good a time as any because I don't think this movie won any other awards. The Favorite was really good. It's really funny.
Okay, cool.
And
well,
but it's also like
actress.
Yeah, it's funny, but it's like, but it still also has like a really compelling story. It's one of those movies where like the whole story is like people plotting and like putting plans over on other people and like but acting civil to each other the whole time.
That's cool.
And I like those types of movies because that's kind of like what Game of Thrones is, except then they all have like these crazy violent scenes, but like the political stuff in Game of Thrones is all people being like, we're friends, and then secretly they're like plotting behind them.
Yeah.
And this was
that
type of movie.
What's The Favorite about, by the
way? The Favorite's about the queen is secretly a lesbian with her like right hand girl who's like a lady.
Yeah.
And Olivia Colman plays the queen.
Gotcha.
And then I don't remember the actress's name who plays
Saoirse
Ronan. The lady. No.
Is this the movie that Saoirse Ronan?
No,
is
that's Mary Queen of Scots.
Oh. Okay.
This is the one with Emma Stone.
Emma Stone.
Yeah, and Emma Stone plays this girl who.
Did I say Emma Watson earlier or Emma Stone when
you
I made
said
that?
Emma Watson.
I did. I meant Emma Stone.
It's fine, but
Emma Watson's not Japanese. That's absurd. Emma Stone, however,
she's partially
she's
Japanese,
blown Japanese.
But Emma Stone's character is like kind of trying to like work her way up into like high status and like drive a like love triangle wedge.
I thought you were gonna say Lamborghini.
No, drive a love triangle wedge in between the queen and this girl who have like their secret lesbian relationship. It's really good. And it starts off with a bunch of fancy men in powdered wigs having a race of geese that are like wearing little like outfits. And as soon as I saw that, and they're all like, come on. And then he's like, now this is a prized goose. And he like walks away with it. And it keeps showing up throughout the course of the movie. I was like, I'm going to love this movie.
A prized goose.
Yeah. The favorite was, pun intended, one of my favorites. But here's Olivia Colman's speech.
The favorite, is it talking about people or goose?
In my mind, it's the goose.
You keep hitting this with your
it's do
the
I?
Geese.
Yeah. No, I haven't hit it yet.
He has to prove it
to
you.
Prove it.
No, am I?
That's Hiram hitting his.
Oh, maybe it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't do that.
All right, fellas. Well, here's her speech. Oh, it's so quiet.
Well, then blast it. Look at her.
She's crying. Emma Stone is very happy for her.
You can tell her she had no idea.
It's genuinely quite stressful. this is hilarious. Gone, Oscar. I have to thank lots of people. If, by the way, I forget anybody, I'm going to find you later. I'm going to give you all a massive snog, and I'm really sorry if I might forget now. But Yorgos, my best director in the best film, and with Emily and Rachel, the two loveliest women in the world to fall in love with and to go to work with every day. I mean, you can imagine, it wasn't a hardship. And to be in this category with these extraordinary women, and Glenn Close, you've been my idol for so long, and this is not how I wanted it to be, and I think you're amazing. I love you very much.
She should have won for 100.
I love you all. thank you. Lindy King, my agent, who took me on over 20 years ago. Thank you so much. And Olive and Hildy and Brynna, who made me do things that I said no to, but she was right. And my mum and my dad. And my kids are at home and watching. Look, well, if you're not, then well, kind of well done, but I sort of hope you are. This is not going to happen again. And any little girl who's practicing their speech on the telly, you never know. And when I used to work as a cleaner, and I loved that job. I did spend quite a lot of my time imagining this. Oh, please wrap up. Right, okay. And thank you. And my husband Ed, my best friend, I love you so much. 25 years, you've been my best supporter, and he's gonna cry. I'm not. And thank you so much. Fox, everybody, the cast, the crew, Francis, Sam, thank you. Oh, thank you so much. Lady Gaga.
That's how she ends her speech.
She's adorable.
That's the last thing she says. Yeah. Lady Gaga.
And then so she leaves. That's funny.
She's amazing.
Dude, because literally in every other award show, it was either Lady Gaga won or Glenn Close won. And so she was just like totally blindsided. And everyone.
Yeah.
But the thing is, everyone clearly loves her so much. That, like, no one was upset.
Well, yeah.
Everyone was like, this is the best.
And she did a great job, I heard.
That seems like the most genuine speech, you know.
Yeah, she had no idea. She was bawling.
Yeah.
Some people get up there. That's like how I wanted Leonardo DiCaprio's speech to be the year that he finally won. I wanted him to be like, this means so much to me. But he got up and he was like, climate change. And I was like, shut up, Leo. This is your time.
Yeah, forget climate change.
Dude, we all know.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do? I was like, leave it to one of the people who wins like every year.
Dude,
leave it to Mahershala Ali. He'll get up and be like, you guys already saw me up here, fellas. Climate change is...
I'll be real with you. Climate change.
Leo was right. Climate change.
He had a point back. Leo was right.
To back the last year. Leo back then, he was
back
right.
Then, 3 years ago.
Every time... someone does that, it makes me laugh, because it's like, what if Leo got up there and somebody is watching the Oscars and also not recycling, and they're like, Leo said?
I can't,
Leo said, yeah,
I can't wait to win an Oscar. I'll be like, Hiram Corbin, I'll be like, thanks, guys, but really, climate change.
It's like Leo said 20 years ago, Climate change.
It's still changing, guys.
Guys, Bill Nye was right about climate change. We got to get going.
Hiram, if you ever win an Oscar, I won't be able to contain myself. I'll cry so much. I'll be so happy.
You get up there and
you thank Bill Nye. Yeah, I'm going to thank Bill Nye. I want to thank Bill Nye for mentioning climate change because we got to do something about it.
Hiram wins his Oscar for playing Bill Nye the Science Guy in a biopic.
Oh my God!
Yeah, call it the Science Guy.
The Science Guy,
dude. Or call Science Rules,
dude. We're writing it. That's our next movie. We're writing.
Yeah,
we're gonna put you in it.
Yeah, we're putting you in it.
Mahershala Ali's playing climate change,
and we give him a bat, and he just goes and like beats up people, and they're like, "Climate change is coming."
He just cuts trees down.
He uses a baseball bat to like hit blades of grass.
Yeah, he's like beating down nature with a baseball bat. Well, and like, get him.
He's like drinking beers and he's like, the ocean who needs it.
And then we have a guy who's like dressed like Trump and Hiram's like, get him. And Trump's like, I don't wanna. And then that's our movie. It's very high art, you know. Very
like Trump. Remember that guy?
So think. Remember that guy, Trump? Yeah.
Dude, isn't that
fuck
crazy?
Him.
In 20 years, he'll probably be dead. Let's
he'll
be
pre. He'll still be president.
Oh my God.
Oh shit.
He'll find a way.
He'll find a way to still be president. He's like, I built the wall, and I told you.
And I told you.
I told you I was going to get you, and I got you.
He just can't get it out.
He built the wall around the White House, and they can't get in to get him out.
Yeah,
and he just video chats out of the office.
He just sits there like this. With his arms crossed, and
he always starts every State of the Union with, "It's great still being president."
It's great still being, and he's just Skyping in every time.
I need food.
Guys,
send food.
It's hard here.
Send Trump steaks, please.
Send Big Macs.
We ate Don Jr.
Send hamburgers. Send them.
We ate Don Jr.
We ate him. He needed to go.
You know what? Last week I was talking with them and he said, maybe you don't need to be president for your eighth term in a row. And I ate him.
I ate Melania and I was tired of her pussy, so I just ate the whole thing.
I started with the pussy and I finished with her.
I started with it and then I finished with her entire flesh.
And you know, I'm still the president. Like, moving on.
But moving on.
That's not the playoff music.
All right, guys.
Here, memorize what it is. Which one is it?
It's five. I just was aiming for five, and
like,
I hit three.
I feel like we spent like enough. Like we went on enough tangents.
Yeah,
we gotta like kind of.
Yeah, let's
these.
Blaze through a couple. Well, we're gonna get to a bunch that are like these ones have kind of been like big ones.
Okay.
Animated feature. We are not gonna
you
blaze through probably.
Supporting
oh, I guess no. I did. I skipped supporting actress. Went to
you
Regina King for If Beale Street Could Talk. Haven't seen.
I think it's directed by the same guy who did Moonlight.
I know. I wanted to see it, and I tried to, but I couldn't get it.
And James, let me know.
Yeah.
Regina King, what else is she from? And is she from Daddy Daycare?
She is actually from the Boondocks. She played both Huey and Riley Freeman.
Yes.
Wait.
Type in Daddy Daycare.
Wait a second.
She's the wife from Daddy Daycare. I'm for sure.
Holy crap. Regina King stars in Daddy Daycare.
That's what I know. When she got up there, I was like, Daddy Daycare!
Daddy Daycare.
When they pull up to the trailer park because they're trying to find new like daycare centers, and they pull up, and Eddie Murphy goes, now, looks can be deceiving. And she goes, looks can be deceiving. We're in a trailer park.
That should have been her Oscar.
Dude, for real, though.
Eddie
Regina
Murphy must
King.
Be proud.
How'd you know that, Andy or Jake?
Dude, I watch Daddy Daycare every other day.
You do mention Daddy Daycare a lot.
You've seen it, right?
Yeah.
You know the bloopers with the little kids to Eddie Murphy? He goes, you're killing me. You're really killing me. That's my favorite shit. Because that's Eddie Murphy. And that little kid's like, you suck, Eddie Murphy. The little kid's like, know your lines.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, draw rings? We can do more draw rings. And then Eddie Murphy's like, draw rings? And I was like, draw rings? Eddie Murphy.
Fellas, we got animated feature film. This is the best one. This, in my mind, is the best picture award.
Shit.
Went to Spider-Man, Enter the Spider-Verse. Let me tell you what, fellas. If we were still in college and we had to like write papers about stuff like this, I could straight up write a whole paper about why Spider-Man deserved to win Best Picture.
It's so good.
Even from like you could go down the line of like It has the like social commentary in there. It has like every single thing that they look for. The only difference is that one, it's about a superhero, and two, it's animated. And so for that reason, they're like, it's out.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so interesting because the way a lot of these movies end up being is like, we're like, oh, they're rushed a little bit. They're either the themes feel like it's pandering or whatever.
Yeah.
This movie just like the theme for Best Pictures have always been like, you know, is the person struggling with their sexuality or is that person struggling with racism? It's just kind of the same kind of theme.
And I like that.
It's great, but it's like it's beating a dead horse. It's just but you know, like we get it. You know what I mean?
Well,
like,
I was telling somebody about this earlier, and I was saying, well, the way I see it is just that for years and for like decades, if you made a movie about like being gay or like being a minority and like the experience with that, you would get nothing. And I think just now the pendulum is just swinging in the other direction, and now it's like all that gets nominated. But I think over time it'll just even out. They're just kind of everyone feels like they have to make up for it.
I'm honestly glad that like movies like Black Panther and Mad Max Fury Road even gets nominated for that.
Mad Max Fury Road deserved to win.
I was still pissed because I love the hell out of Mad Max.
Well, I was going to say like what you were saying, James, is I agree in that way where it's obviously more of a good thing than a bad thing. Like, of course,
that we have
so many movies about.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Things.
Yeah, yeah.
But I do appreciate when a movie like Spider-Verse has all those things in it and it's just a part of the movie.
But when people ask you,
the theme
isn't there. It's just there. I like that. You know?
That's why I liked the movie Hearts Beat Loud so much, because it was like the main girl in it was in a lesbian relationship and they didn't be like, look at us, we got a lesbian relationship in our movie. Yeah. It was just like, oh, hey, her dad was just like, oh, so you've got a girlfriend now? And she's like, yeah. And he's like, cool. And because like, he like already knew, he like already knew she was into girls.
I mean, like, while there should be movies like that should be the entire point. There should also be movies to normalize it to where it can be just like a part of everyday it could be a part of people's everyday lives. And people don't really care because it's just like normal. Like, oh, he's black. Who cares? Oh, she's gay. Who cares? Oh, she's trans. Who cares? They're just like living their daily life. They're going on an adventure. And it's the fact that they are those kind of people going on like superhero adventures is what it's like. It's the kind of representation that we've always wanted.
Yeah.
You know,
And leading into that, it's also like these are movies. And they're just, and that's the thing is they're just movies, and we're gonna. I don't want to spoil later, but like Green Book, like criticisms I've heard is like people talking about how it's handling those things not in a good way. That's what
I've
heard.
Well, it's more specific than that, but we'll get into it when we get there.
At least people are trying.
Yeah.
Like, even if you fail at the thing you're trying to do, it's still a valiant effort to try to.
Yeah,
on those subjects.
And in Spider-Man they just do it so well, and it annoys me that it doesn't. Even though it won Best Animated Feature, I still feel like it didn't get the like credit that it's like due.
I am so glad. Well, the thing is, it won both a Golden Globe and an Academy Award.
It cleaned up at the. Well, I know, but
I think for a comic book movie and an animated movie and a movie that's not like. Like, every other animated movie recently has been, like, Pixar or whatever, which is...
Pixar and Disney.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Like, a comic book movie and an animated movie, I think it got what it needed.
I mean, it definitely didn't get, like, completely robbed, but I don't know. I get frustrated because
put it in the Best Picture they would never do.
I know, but I think that's a problem.
And that's the reason why
they made a whole new thing.
Yeah, the funny thing is that as difficult as it is for all these different like different groups of people to feel like represented by the Oscars, I think I don't believe that within our lifetime we'll ever see an animated movie win Best Picture, and I think that's like more difficult to me than like any other one where they're like, oh man, will this group of people ever have their day? I think all those people will like. I think I just like. Am I crazy to think that I don't think we'll ever see an animated movie just win Best Picture?
Well, think about it like this, too, is like that's sad, I guess, but at least...
But I'd rather it be that way than be like...
But at least movies as an art form are getting recognition at all.
Yeah.
That's true.
Like, my art form that I love, comic books, gets like no recognition whatsoever.
Now
in this movie, Spider-Verse came from that.
Yeah.
And no one said, the only people, they got played off before they got to thank Stan Lee and Steve Ditko.
That's messed up.
And so in the after show they did, they got up there and they're like, we were just about to say Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, and we also want to thank Brian Bendis and Sarah Pacelli because they created Miles Morales.
Yeah.
And we basically just used their blueprint to make this movie. Yeah. And they said that. They were like, they're the one, they're mostly the people you should defend. And then I watched all the people who created the characters, like Jason Latour, who made Gwen, Spider-Gwen, watching the Oscars from their homes and filming the TV, and I'm like, none of them got to go.
Yeah, that annoys me.
You made that stuff. Like, Brian Bendis was sitting there at home watching it, like, great, wow. And even the animators, they have a clip of all the Sony animators clapping when it's happening. I'm like, you guys didn't get to go.
Well, yeah. I mean, the animators, there's like an army of animators.
Well, yeah, but still, I don't care. They should all get to go.
Honestly, yeah. I agree with both of your points, though. The thing, like, the reason why I agree with James' point, kind of, is because when it comes to Best Animated Picture, they usually are the laziest in, like award.
Yeah,
like, just
which one wins?
Throw the award away.
They're just like, which one did Disney make? And it's kind of a miracle that, like, on the
That's
surface,
the reason why
people,
no, Boss
yeah,
Pete,
yeah, because half the time, yeah. half Guy the Boss time, Pete. Yeah, because half the time, I feel like the people who vote on Best Animated Picture definitely haven't seen the movies, and that's why I'm very proud of the fact that they didn't just see Incredibles 2 on the list and go, that's probably the best
one. Yeah, because I'm thinking, because like after watching Incredibles 2, because the thing with me is just like I'm like I think that like Spider-Verse like. Is the best animated film of that year. It was hard for me because, like, Wreck-It Ralph was, like, really close.
Really? Was it that good?
It's a good one, but...
It's a good one, yeah. But, like, it's not... It's no Into the Spider-Verse. It didn't make me feel like...
Spider-Verse was just such an overwhelming, like, euphoric feeling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because it had everything. Like,
it literally has everything. Like, there's moments in it that are, like, scary. There's moments in it that'll make you laugh. That'll like make you cry. There's
moments
like,
that are very
the
emotional.
Action is like extremely well handled.
It's
and on top of that,
action I've ever
seen. It's like ambitious storytelling because it's like the multiple universe thing. But
and
at no
like
point does it feel like convoluted or confusing. And then
and it has like a different software that's like free for anybody to use.
Really? Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whoa, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What
it's
do
really
you mean?
Cool. I forgot the name of it, but like,
but what does it do?
Photo or it's a Microsoft Paint.
With every DVD copy, you get a copy of Microsoft Paint.
MS Paint. I'm like, wow, I can't wait to download this.
Shit. I'm going to make my own movie.
I'm going to make Spider-Verse 2.
So it's just like free software they use to make that movie?
It's like the same idea with Studio Ghibli movies and like releasing Open Tunes. That's the same kind of like software that they use for their
movies.
That's
really cool.
Well, that's cool, yeah. I also think it's like... Like the visual style, it's like on every aspect they were like, well, let's not just settle.
Yeah.
Even on like visual style, like, well, let's make it so that if you see a frame of this movie, you'll go, oh, that's from Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
When me and Jake saw that, we like talked about like Sony just like, it seemed like Sony just like gave those three people like the movie and just like, do whatever you want with it. It just felt like that.
Yeah.
Like it felt like the creators did whatever the fuck they wanted.
But that's, I feel partially because
that
that's like, they were, because... The directors did a great job, but I think they were really lucky to have Lord and Miller on with them because Lord and Miller are so in good with Sony that I think
he can convince them.
Yeah, because
I think
they made 21, 22 Jump Street and Lego Movie for Sony, and so they have yet to miss. And not only that, everything they've made has been like a massive success. And
Lord Miller, he never misses.
Yeah, they never miss. And do you think Kathleen Kennedy is furious because they booted them off the Han Solo movie and now they just won like an Oscar?
Dude, they probably are really upset because that movie made like and a Star Wars movie made no money.
To be honest, like if they
did Spider-Man
do you
do
think,
well like financially?
I mean, it didn't like crush, but it made good money.
It did. Yeah. The thing is, like, I'm still mad about that because, like, if Lord and Miller did, like, Han Solo, like, that would have been the best. Probably would have been the best Star Wars, like, movie that's not.
I mean, it could have been garbage. Who knows? But, like.
Wait, what?
If they had stayed on Han Solo, it could have been garbage. But, like, from what. I just think it would have been a completely different toned movie, but I think it would have had, like, way more energy to it and all this stuff. And I liked Han Solo, but I just liked it. Like I got out of it and I was like, I had a good time. And I know you like loved it.
I get it. But it like, was my favorite new Star Wars movie. It would have been Force. We've already talked about this, but Force Awakens would have still been because I really liked that movie. But Last Jedi made me not like it as much.
Aw. Well, Episode 9 will redeem it,
dude. I feel like it will.
Everyone's going all in. All right.
Are you okay with your eyes, man?
I have been petting my cat all day.
Uh oh.
And my eyes are really bad. My cat's dying. So.
Oh.
Did Logan tell you about that?
No, he didn't. I'm really sorry, man.
Yeah. So I've been
poor George
hanging out with him all day. Yeah, he's
George is one of the greatest cats to live.
I was like, oh, he's really skinny. We should take him to the vet. And they were like, oh yeah, he's got like a few days to live.
Oh no.
Oh.
What the fuck?
It's really sad. Sorry to bring it down.
Guys.
No. First of all, no. Let's James, hold on. Wait. James, do a shout out
to a real one. George.
What do you want me to press?
I don't know.
The death chime. I'm not going to press the death chime. See ya, George.
This one's for George.
That's how he's.
That's a good send-off.
That's him running into cat heaven, dude.
And he's so fast.
Yeah.
And the other cats, they can't keep up.
They're like, wow, he really loves cat heaven.
And then they get there and cat Jesus goes, we're all full.
Yeah, we're all full. George was the only one. He's the only one.
Yeah.
He's the only one.
And cat Jesus is playing with George like this.
Yeah. And he's like, all right. Guys, cinematography went to Alfonso Cuarón. I felt like he deserved it.
I didn't see
Roma.
Was
Roma well shot? Yeah.
Let me tell you, man.
I started didn't finish.
Should I talk about Roma now? Or
you might as well. You seem very. Right. You seem itchy.
No, it won that and it won directing, but spoilers.
Right. No, then maybe we should wait.
We'll wait till directing. But I thought the cinematography for me was the strongest part of the movie. The two things that won were pretty strong, but. Let's move on, I guess. I'll just kind of talk about that when we get there. Costume design went to Black Panther. Well-deserved. I like their speech. Which one was it? Was it costume design or production design?
Both,
that was like, thanks, Spike Lee, for giving me my start. And he was like super hyped. Because that was nice to see.
I like it
when people who aren't involved in the movie get a shout out and are like happy for them. It makes me feel...
Everyone should be there supporting each other.
Yeah.
That environment's a great
environment. It makes me happy.
No, not Hollywood. Whew. Usually that's not a great environment.
Yeah, but I'm saying like in that context. Like,
yeah, that's good.
Yeah. But that was really good and super well-deserved because usually for me, when it comes to stuff like this, I prefer when it goes to something like Black Panther over something like The Favorite because I'm like, with Black Panther, they didn't have anything to go off of. They were like, we got to design a whole society and we got to like make it look like it belongs, but we're making everything up. And with something
and also,
like a period piece, they're just like, this is what actually it was.
And also not make it look dumb.
Yeah.
Like some of those costumes could have turned out really
They could have been
dumb.
So stupid.
The costume design looks just, like astounding because like,
yeah.
like they took inspiration directly from like, you know, rural African countries that like you wouldn't even like, you know, the guy with like the lip ring.
Yeah.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
That's my favorite.
Until I saw
I had seen those before. And I had always been like, this is like a cultural thing. And so that's fine. But I was like, this seems super inconvenient.
I mean, yeah. I wouldn't do that shit.
You won't catch me doing it.
Yeah, you won't catch me doing it.
You said that to say you wouldn't catch me doing that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on.
Directing went to Alfonso Cuarón from Roma.
That's how you pronounce his last name?
Definitely not.
Oh, okay.
I say Cuarón. It's
Cuarón.
I still think it should have either gone to the Russos or Spike Lee, but, you know, that's my thing.
This was a wholesome moment.
Did you see Black Klansman?
I did not, but I want to.
Okay, I do too. We were going to watch it tonight if you want to watch it.
Hey, man, it's a good one. Alfonso Cuarón, this was a wholesome moment because the guy who presented the award was Guillermo del Toro. And he got super hyped when he won and they like hugged on stage.
I heard him. He was like, I can actually pronounce this guy's name.
Yeah, and I was like, man, because this is out of the last six Oscars, five of the best directors have been Hispanic directors. And two of them have been Alfonso Cuarón and two of them have been Alexander Iñárritu.
Oh, yeah.
And then one has been...
I thought his name was Alfonso Iñárritu.
No.
No, it's Alejandro.
Oh, yeah.
The other one is Alfonso.
And then there's Guillermo, my favorite.
Guillermo is such a boss. Because did you see where he like retweeted Steffi's tweet?
No, what?
So like Guillermo like will go through Twitter and just find artists that he likes. Like he'll just scroll, and he'll like retweet whoever he finds.
Dude, that's awesome.
Steffi one time.
She must have flipped out.
Dude, and he's just There was like an open artist casting call for like the new Pinocchio movie he's
doing. Yeah, yeah.
And he's just like, he's such like a guy to just go and pick out who he likes, not based off of like
resume or like
your like status.
I love that, man. Guillermo is just such a wholesome dude, and he makes such good freaking movies.
He does.
Shape of Water, I was a big fan of.
I did. I love that movie.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. Logan hated it.
Logan hates it. Well, he's like, you can't fuck fish. And I'm like, that's not the point. That's not what the movie's about. Dude. He's like, they're saying you can fuck fish in that movie. I'm like, no.
With that logic, it's like, toys can't talk.
Yeah. You can't fuck toys. You can't fuck toys.
You can't fuck toys.
He watched Toy Story going, wait, is Andy fucking them? No.
That's not the point. But yeah, no, that movie, man, Shape of Water, the way it's done is all just like super old fashioned Hollywood type look. Like, right. Like the scene when they fill up the bathroom with water and Michael shows up?
Right?
Michael Shannon doesn't show up. It's Shake the hot dog from Cheaper by the Dozen.
What?
You know that guy? The guy who shows up and who's like, have you seen Cheaper by the Dozen? You know the guy who keeps being like, Steve Martin, come coach. And he's like, ignore your kids. And he's like, bald.
About the guy from Step Brothers, the dad from Step Brothers. Yeah. The hot dog guy from Cheap.
No, because the kid. He's not the hot dog guy.
Oh my god.
He goes. His name is Shake. And the kid, he says something, and the kid says, "What a hot dog." About
Sam,
him.
Sam Rockwell, you know.
So he's not even a hot dog.
You know, Sam Rockwell, the guy from Ninja Turtles who played the thug.
Dude, we watched Ninja Turtles the other day.
The old
Sam
one?
Rockwell was
no
like,
freaking way.
He was a gangster, and he was like, what kind of cigarettes you want? Menthol
or no.
Regular? And we were like, that's Sam Rockwell.
So what are you waiting for? Let's get him!
Let's get those giant lizards.
That's Academy Award winning Sam Rockwell.
And he was also in Gentleman Broncos.
Yeah, dude. I love Sam Rockwell. He's great.
He's pretty genuine.
I'd love to put him in a movie one day if I'm ever worthy. Documentary feature. Oh, yeah. I never even talked about Roma.
Oh, yeah. All right. Go ahead.
Sorry.
Fellas, Roma is... It's like a piece of art, but it's so boring.
Did it put you in a coma?
I have never... Roma put me in
Jake,
a coma.
Into a Roma coma?
Jake, get the
wow,
fuck
out. Wow, he'll be here all week. Guys, let me tell you what.
That was good.
Let me give you a review of me watching it from Andy. Andy, because I paused it halfway through because I was like, this feels like it should be wrapping up about this point. And I paused it and it was halfway done. And I was like, uh-oh. Andy looks, and I looked over at Andy and he goes, James, can I be honest with you? And I go, yeah. And he goes, you look like you're doing homework right now.
Yeah, it felt like I was, because
the thing is, and you guys might feel completely different. And I don't watch that movie and go like, how on earth could anyone get anything out of this? It's a very technically well done movie. The thing is, there's a lot of stuff in it that's like it just kind of goes about her life, which is not a bad thing because like that's what like Lady Bird does, and I love that movie. It's just this movie, the main character for me, all she has as a character is that she's a pregnant woman. She's very quiet. She doesn't say a lot, and so like seeing her go about her life to me did not keep my attention. I was like, all right, she's here and she's being quiet, and now she's here and she's being quiet.
But isn't the draw of the movie, from what I've heard, is that it's kind of gives you a perspective on what it's like to live in that era in Mexico?
Yeah, and it's very effective in that way. I just felt like it was way longer than it needed to be because it was... And then it ends pretty well. Like, it picks up in the last, like, 15 minutes. And I was like, so if you chopped out a good, like... 20 or 30 minutes in the middle and just like compressed it, I probably would have walked away from it being like, that was a really good movie.
Yeah.
But it just moves way too slow. And I'm not the type of person to like shoo away from a slow burn of a movie necessarily.
Gotcha. Well, you know? I'd have to watch it to see.
Yeah.
It's definitely very,
the
definitely
performances are all great. Like if you were to give pretty much any aspect of the movie, I would be like, yeah, they did that well. It's just moves too slow and it's too long, and I thought the character need, if you're gonna make a movie that long, I feel like you need your character to have a little more like in like just I don't want to say, because there are people out there who are like quiet, so it's not like she didn't feel like a real person. It's just the people who are out there who are like that, I don't want to watch for hours, you know?
Yeah.
And so, but then, and there was also some stuff in there that I wasn't sure was supposed to be funny or not. Like, there's some stuff in there that, like, is almost like a Gentleman Broncos type sense of humor. And so I'm like, am I just weird and I think this is funny, or is this actually intended to be funny? And I didn't, and I wasn't sure. And so that, like, bugged me.
So do you think it's like a, like, because what it sounds like, it may, like, it may seem like you may have a problem with the editing of it, if anything else.
Maybe. Also, the cinematography is good, but
you're saying the cinematography is good, the performances are good.
Here's the thing about the cinematography, though, is they use the same trick a million times. And the first couple times, I'm like, I really like this. No, it's...
I'm just kidding.
You'll know when you see it. They do this thing where they start and they just pan the camera slowly around the scene. And it, like, reveals more things every time. It's, like, a cool, like, way to reveal. But it's the only, like, way they reveal things for the entire movie.
Like, in the way that Wes Anderson's movies are all shot the same.
Yeah, but this one is, like, one specific thing. And I'm like, come on, man. Change it up. This one has a couple of shots in it.
It's like a one-trick pony type deal.
Yeah, and I wanted it to just do a little bit of different stuff. But I still think it's worth watching, but just don't feel bad if you're watching it and you're like, this is really boring. Is there something wrong with me?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because it is boring. Mm. And
Now I'm more interested. All these, like, these opinions about these movies that I haven't seen make me kind of want to watch them more.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man.
I really want to watch Roma.
If you pay attention to people's reviews of them, a lot of times I can tell that the reviewer thinks the movie is boring and just doesn't want to say it because they don't want to seem like, they feel bad. And so, because you can see them be like, you know, it's really it's a ponderous movie. I'm like, you thought this movie was boring.
Yeah, and it kind of sucks because you do feel bad because a lot of movies like that deal with this important subject.
Yeah, and like super personal. And it's like, and I'm saying, hey, dude, you did a really good job. It's just,
like, here's the thing, if you knew that guy, you'd be like, wow, dude, you did a great job.
Yeah, but also because it is straight up, like, about his life. What? And so if I knew him, I'd probably know more about his life and be like, this is really powerful for me.
I think it'll be, it's like people who like the movie Brave, you know, it's just like, I don't think it's like that at all. No, I know.
It's like those dumb.
No, the reason why I say that is because, like, it depends on, like, because of the subject matter, depends on who it affects, you know. It's not like a wide appeal like Blockbuster. It's like a movie that's personal. And,
yeah.
And depending on, like, if you feel that on a personal level, you may appreciate this movie more than you have experienced. Yeah. I don't know.
I was going to say...
That's most movies.
I was going to say we were going to have a new contender for a busy dad in the movie.
Oh, shit, who?
But it turns out, no, yeah.
Oh.
Well,
that'd be a sad one.
That'd be weird.
Yeah.
And the guy from Roma's coming.
Arnold Schwarzenegger versus from Roma.
And I can't. Well, if you watch the movie, if you watch the movie, we'll talk about it. I just can't tell you because it's like kind of a spoiler.
Roma. Well, the thing is I'm interested just because scrolling through Twitter, you're like, oh, the people who enjoy this movie, like the people that this movie's obviously targeted towards,
they love it.
Love this movie.
Yeah. If you like this movie, you'll love this. I mean, I liked it enough to, I more respect it than like
well,
it.
Well, I kind of like the idea.
If that makes any sense.
Like, do you feel like you know more about that lifestyle than you did before you watched the movie?
Yeah, to an extent.
Okay. Because that's what I found most interesting, like the reasons I would watch
like what life was like back then.
About, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It'd be interesting to,
but,
it's a good thing to take away from it.
Let's move on, fellas. Documentary feature is irrelevant because it didn't. Because Won't You Be My Neighbor wasn't nominated.
But Mind the Gap
was. Worth it. Oh.
Free Solo won, and I don't care.
What won?
How about you say you just didn't see them?
I didn't see him.
And that's fine.
I didn't see him. And no, you know what else I didn't see? No, I've heard that Free Solo is very good.
Oh, okay. All right.
I've heard that it's very good. I'm just memeing for a minute, but I am upset that they didn't nominate What Could Be My Neighbor.
Shout out to James Shipp posting.
It's the only...
We're from Fairly Odd Parents when it comes to the TV, and it's that Mr. Rogers is like, it's okay to feel sad.
Say it. Remember that? I remember that.
Dude, I like to think that they were like, they watched Mr. Rogers and they were like, this guy hates our cartoons.
Honestly.
We're gonna make fun of him.
Yeah, no, honestly, that's what I would do if I was a cartoonist. If I...
If I was wearing my ass off on Transformers and he was like, "That's horrible for children," I'd be like,
"Is it?" But you can't be mad at him. He's such a wholesome guy.
You old man.
You old, and he's not even that old at the time. Yeah, he's like 30.
Well, he's got the mind of an old
man. Yeah. Documentary short went to period end of sentence, which
is the shortest movie.
Is also, do you know what it's about?
No.
It's about how in some like some other countries, girls, when they get to the age that they have their first period, just stop coming to school because they have no way of like taking care of it in public. And so it's like about a movement. It's about a movement to like stop that and get it like people out there. And so I was like, oh, sweet. So that's
where does it take place? Like,
it's just in a bunch of different countries and stuff.
Oh,
so
okay.
Usually like
that's
third
very
world
interesting
countries.
That it's like literally a thing in different countries. I actually want to see that.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Film editing went to Bohemian Rhapsody. Don't know if this was the one that you should have given it to, but here's the thing about it. I don't think this movie, if you watch through it, is like necessarily well edited. But
I don't think it's poorly edited.
Well, there's some scenes in there where I'm like,
I saw you like that random girl's tweet. Which,
yeah,
because
that
like,
scene is like
true.
that scene that she posted.
No, the tweet that she posted,
which
she was like, the editing of this movie sucks or something. And I was like, not really.
It's a weird mixed bag because here's the thing: there was a scene that was being passed around that you might have seen, but the editing in that scene
is bad.
It's the one where Littlefinger's there and he's like, "I'm going to offer you a," and they're like at lunch and he's got his like jacket, and it's like they whip you around to so many characters and like no one's ever on screen when they're talking, and you can tell that they've like butted up lines against each other to like try to speed it, and it's just like it's hard to explain. And it's not for me. I don't think it's like so atrociously edited that like someone who doesn't edit movies will watch it and be like,
"Hey, I understand if it shouldn't have won," which I agree
with.
But I really don't think it was bad.
I'm just torn on it because I don't think it's bad enough to justify.
If I notice it, that's when it's bad. Like, even if it's not like, if I notice that it's good, that's another thing. But I didn't notice anything. So
I noticed,
I really don't, there is,
but it's different because I literally edit things for a living.
Yeah,
and so it's like, if I am like kind of noticing, it's probably not that big of a deal. But that's why people are freaking out about it. But I also have heard this. Yeah, I have also heard that when this movie was like dropped on John Ottman's desk, it was like unsalvageable, and he like single-handedly made the movie himself.
Now the thing about it is, when I heard that he won for editing, my mind went to that, where I was like, dude, quit, whatever. Like, he probably left him a Zack Snyder of a movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Or like a Justice League of a movie.
I was like, maybe someone on the inside knew that that was the task he was presented with and made a movie out of it.
And I feel like that's what happened. I feel like the people who know are like, that's what happened. Let's give it to him because he just went through a tough time.
Yeah,
he was dealt a raw deal.
He was literally the best editor, someone who could make a movie out of a movie.
That should have been true. He made a movie that was like, by my harshest criticism, an all right movie.
Yeah.
Out of something that should have been complete garbage.
You know how you watched that, what is that, Steve Carell and Keira Knightley movie where you watched it and you were like, I just felt good watching it. That's how I felt about it.
Yeah, and that's fine. And I don't watch Bohemian Rhapsody and be like, how could anyone ever feel good watching this movie?
Yeah.
See, for me, Bohemian Rhapsody and Roma are like two sides of a coin where it's like, Roma is like, they did everything right, but I was bored and wanted to turn it off the whole time because I was bored. Bohemian Rhapsody, I'm like, they did so many things wrong, but it kept my attention through the whole movie and was entertaining.
I really don't get what you mean by so many things wrong, though.
I just think there's a lot of like production things, like you're talking where it's like so many things happen too easily. It feels paced weird.
Down after the first, like, the first.
For me, that felt like it was a thing for a long time.
And then when things
were a problem, they were only a problem for like a second for me. And that's just how I feel about it.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
You don't have to be sorry. We're just talking about
Jake.
I'm sorry. James, they're just
Jake.
Movies.
I'm so sorry.
I really don't care.
I'm going to send you a gift basket.
I'm just having so much trouble with this cat in my eyeball.
I know. I it's really throwing me off because it makes you look like you're upset.
I'm really not. It's a fun time.
No, I mean, it's aggravating to deal with that itch, though.
Anyway, foreign language film went to Roma. No one's surprised there. I already said what I felt
Alfonso
about it.
Alfonso Cuarón should not be pissed that night. He's like, no, I didn't win Best Picture, but I won three fucking Oscars.
Yeah, but I won cinematography, and it was his first time being a cinematographer.
Well, that's amazing.
I won directing, and I won Best Foreign Film.
It's like Deakins when he was up so many times and never won.
Like, oh, my God, dude. He finally. And the thing is, Roma was well shot, but there wasn't a movie this year where I was like, well, like, I was never blown away. Like, Roma, I think if that movie was in color, people wouldn't have been flipping out about it as much.
But here's what I'm saying. I wish that they had done the thing where the commercials played instead, and I didn't have to see him come up.
Dude, did you see the jokes they did where they were like, who was it? It was someone went up and presented and was like, I'm happy to present this award on camera for cinematography.
I have a question. Why did the Academy bother to put Roma in the Best Foreign film and Best Picture?
Well,
because it is a foreign film.
I mean, I know it's a foreign film, but like, isn't it like, why would you like categorize the film in like two different like?
Well,
best
because if
sequences,
you because the few know? Well, if you think about it, it's like the few times that like an animated movie has been nominated for Best Picture, it was also because like clearly if it's good enough to be like best overall, it's good enough to be best in its own like category.
Yeah, the true, thing about it, I mean, is like, I think it's out of a respectful thing because Roma is like a big enough movie to get all those nods, but a lot of foreign movies don't make it over here and earn like gain any
recognition.
So they made that category to kind of get that recognition for some movies we wouldn't have. Like, I wouldn't have heard of any of these movies if they hadn't recognized them. You know?
So I mean, that makes sense.
It's more of like, oh, we can let people know about like short films. These things
we can let them, because like period end of sentence. If I come across like a way to watch. Period, end of sentence. Like, I'll be like, oh, I heard it was really good. It won the Oscar. I know what it's about now. I would have never heard about it.
Because we're really into movies. A lot of people aren't. So
they
would never hear
it. Best Music Original Score went to Black Panther, Ludwig Göransson. I'll tell you what, man. This guy's a good dude.
He deserves it.
The thing is, Black Panther, probably not my favorite score of last year, but out of the nominees, it was definitely the best.
That's why I'm saying.
Except for maybe Mary Poppins Returns.
I liked Dog's music though.
It was all good, and I was surprised how well I remembered it when they started playing back like the samples, especially like Black Klansman. I was like, oh, this is the Black Klansman music.
Yeah.
I didn't see if Beale Street Could Talk, so I couldn't say on that. Mary Poppins Returns though, the thing is, a lot of the songs from that people have a problem with because they're like, they're not as memorable as the original, which I disagree with to an extent because I've listened to them a lot now and I'm like, I love these songs. But the orchestra music in that movie is excellent. And that was my second. I was like, it's got to go to Black Panther or Mary Poppins Returns, and I'm pretty sure it's not going to Mary Poppins Returns. So, but Ludwig, that guy's been around for a bit.
Yeah.
He's been sneakily really good. He did the Creed music and the Creed music was so good.
He does every Coogler movie.
Yeah, he does every Coogler movie. He does there was another director who he like works with a bunch, but I can't remember who it was. But he's really good. He did Venom. Which in my mind, he's winning the Oscar for Venom.
In my mind,
he's winning for Venom. Yeah.
In the least exciting Oscar of the night, original song went to Shallow from A Star Is Born.
Oh.
You could tell by the way that they presented the songs, because they were like, and here's Jennifer Hudson singing a song from the Ruth Bader Ginsburg documentary. And they like pan over to her and she sings it and everyone just like claps in their seat for a little while and they're like cut to commercial. And then when they're like now performing Shallow is they had Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper sing it together, and they had this whole production where they started the camera like down with them in their seats and like came up to the piano, and they like sang together, and they had all this like, it wasn't like choreography necessarily, but they like start in front of the piano, then she starts like playing, and then when it gets like the end of the song, he like sits with her and they like get really tight with the camera and they look like they're in love, and then they got a standing ovation. And then I found this out later that, like, after the credits, when they went, like, backstage, they came out to come to their seats and got a second standing ovation because everyone thought they were so good.
Oh, yeah.
And so by the time the award came around, you're like, well, it's not going to the Ruth Bader Ginsburg song.
Like, what if it was and they were like, that was bad, and they scratched it out and changed
Yeah,
they're
like, uh-oh, people don't like this one as much.
Yeah.
I like Jennifer Hudson. But that song, I'll tell you what, I heard it and I don't remember anything about it at all. I couldn't tell you the first thing about it.
Well, let's move on.
But that song's great, and I was emotional watching the song could be performed. And those guys are definitely banging.
I saw like an article saying everybody's crazy about Lady Gaga's goo goo eyes, and I was just thinking Gaga's goo
goo
Gaga
goo
Gaga
goo Gaga.
Jake, let me ask you a question: Are Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper banging?
One can only dream, James.
One can hire them.
I mean, I'm jealous.
What percentage chance do you think that they're banging 75. Right now? 75?
I'd give it like a good 70.
All right. Well,
not 75?
Not 75.
Conservative. Conservative. I respect
Republican,
it.
I respect it.
short film animated went to BAO. Actually, I skipped one. Production design. I'll come back to it. Production design went to Black Panther. Well deserved, extremely well deserved.
That's, I feel like those are like the best parts of the film.
Oh yeah,
one of the best parts.
On one of the speeches, I forget which one it was, but it was one of the Bohemian Rhapsody speeches. Someone's like, "I want to thank everyone, you know, everyone who worked on the movie, the crew." And I go, "They thanked Georgie.
They thanked Georgie, and we want to thank Georgie Whetstone.
This movie wouldn't have, she took our script and she was like, "This is a mess, fellas. We got to fix it."
And we want to thank Brian May from Queen.
From Queen, yay!
Thank you.
We want to thank the singer,
Brian May.
He sang backup vocals.
Brian Singer's actually in the audience. He's like, fuck you guys.
He snuck in a disguise.
Yeah.
He's on...
He has a mustache.
Who else is in the like Hollywood? He's on...
He's Freddie Mercury.
He teamed up with another person who's like banished from Hollywood, and he's like on their
and
shoulders.
Mel Gibson are sitting
dude,
there.
He's on Mel... No, dude.
He's
Hollywood
back.
Likes Mel Gibson again. Who's
no,
like in a bad way?
They tolerate Mel Gibson.
Yeah.
They do, because I feel like Mel Gibson has one more slip up, you know?
Yeah, but...
you know when they're always staring at him a little
bit. They're side-eyeing
yeah.
him, you
he's
know?
On probation. But who else is in like a bad way with Hollywood, but like not that much?
Tim Allen.
Oh.
Tim Allen?
Tim Allen's not in bad with Hollywood, is he?
They hate him. What? He doesn't live in L.A. anymore.
What?
He's
why?
Really conservative.
Oh, well, who cares about that?
Yeah.
No, I mean,
they hate you in L.A. if you're conservative.
They do.
Wait, who's the director who got like, who ran away to Europe because he was like a creep and makes movies? Is that Luc Besson or was
him?
That no it's maybe it was Roman Polanski.
Roman Polanski.
Is that yeah? So Roman Polanski and Brian Singer teamed up, and they
Brian Polanski
and he's on his shoulders with a trench coat and with a fake mustache, and they're in the crowd.
They're really tall,
and they're like, "We don't want to thank Brian Singer," and he's like, "Damn!"
And he gets off of Roman's shoulders and runs away, and Roman's like, "Shit."
All right, let's go to the next
best short film animated went to BAO, which well deserved, at least as far as I know.
I love that short. I watch like every short that like they come out with.
You did?
Like, for each Disney movie. Yeah, I watched that.
Did you watch all the nominees for best animated short?
I did not watch all the nominees.
Oh, cuz that's what I thought you meant. I was like, "Dang, Harv."
Is this from the beginning of, what is this
for? Incredibles 2
oh,
beginning
no.
the
I
one
cried.
Where she eats her son.
I cried and I go, shit, I love that the plot of that is she eats her son and no one laughed. Everyone was like, no.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No one went,
did you laugh a little bit or were you crying?
I went, why am I not laughing? That's what
yeah.
I said.
Exactly. It's
you go
like,
you go, man, they really got me.
They did.
It's not my favorite Disney short though, or Pixar short.
Humble Brag.
Like it's pretty fucking incredible.
I hope they
I love
Incredibles.
It.
I hope they started with the idea that she was going to eat her son, and they built a short around it. They're like, how do we make people believe it?
But I liked that she thanked Pete Docter in her speech.
Yes,
I was like, I love that he's the leader of Pixar now.
He pretty much is. Like, that's the reason why I'm
excited. No, he's been appointed their head now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's incredible because, like, I keep saying incredible. There's that word again. He's, like, helping out with the story in pretty much every Pixar film that comes out.
Yeah.
Like Lasseter did, except I feel like Pete Docter's better.
He is
better.
I didn't know that Pete Docter... I think John Lasseter did, too. I watched a bunch of the old Toy Story initial, like, animations that they did tests on, where Pete Docter did a lot of, like, the initial... Like, the first animation tests.
Yeah. Like, he was, like, just, like... Like, they all worked... Toy Story 1 is so cool because, like, they were all like, all the like big names at Pixar were all writers on it, but they were all also like animators on it. Like, they all were like getting in there and working on it.
They were not big at all. Like, they were just like a small computer company.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's so dope.
And they're just like, let's just make a movie. And
Pixar is so cool.
And that's the thing. Like, that's like the year that like you and I were born. Like, we kind of grew up with Pixar like every fucking year since.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I was already alive.
Yeah, you
I
were beat already him, alive.
Beat him by a year. Got
you
him.
You watched the movie and you already had like a
you were born.
Analysis.
Yeah, I was like, Toy Story, I don't believe it. Does he bang the toys?
Did they fuck toys?
You were born in the year of the Lion King, you normie.
I was. Was that 94?
And I was 94.
Aha, got him. Mm-hmm. Lion King live action coming out this year.
Can't wait.
God damn.
I'll see it. Dude,
I'm not
the thing
that.
Is, if you think about all the movies that, that what's his name made, Chef,
John Favreau.
Chef.
I should just say directed by Chef.
Directed by Chef. Dude, he has like never made a movie that I've thought has been crap. Even like Iron Man 2, everyone gives a hard time. I'll watch Iron Man 2 and enjoy it. Like I don't watch it. Zathura's fun.
It is a good movie.
It's a good movie. Yeah.
Some of his movies I'm like, yeah. You know,
but like he made Elf, dude.
I've seen Chef like four times, to be honest.
Dude, Chef's so good.
I don't know why.
Iron Man 1 is excellent.
Oh, yeah.
Probably and they were just one. And they took they were just like, hey man, do whatever you want. And he was like, all right,
I'm making Iron Man.
I'm making Iron Man. I guess.
Can I make Chef, please?
Dude, like, please, can I make Chef? Only after you make Iron Man 2.
Oh, damn.
All right, fine.
He was like, I'm gonna make it a little bad so they give me Chef, so I don't have to.
So that they don't ask me to make Iron Man 3. He did it on
really
purpose.
Wants to make sure. All right, let's go. Let's go to the next.
He's so good.
I feel so focused. I'm tired.
Short film, live action, went to Skin. I don't know what it's about, but I think tattoos.
Okay. All right. Next one.
And it's directed by Randy Newman. Oh, Jamie Newman.
No. Nope.
Sorry.
Oh. Nope.
That'd be great.
Wait.
That would be
Ray Jamie Ray Newman.
Wait.
Dang.
Speaking of, we keep talking about this, but have you heard the Randy Newman song where he says the N-word like 10 times in it?
That's...
You and the N-word tonight. You're
no,
just...
No, it's just interesting because everybody... I just... It's
I got
just
my
an eye. Interesting topic.
I got my eye on you, sir.
But I was like... I was watching Sonny and he said it. And I was like, he said that? What the hell? It was just so weird. But that's Randy funny. Newman has a song where he says it like 10 times.
That's true.
Have you heard that?
No, I haven't.
He's like, yeah, my... He says... You N. You stupid N. Like from Sonny.
Let's go. Let's the next one. Next one. Next category.
Don't play me off.
I'm playing you off, dog. You didn't bring up a cause. You didn't bring up...
You make it way much more worse when you do that.
You didn't bring up a cause for me to stop the music.
I brought up don't say the N-word.
What if that was as simple as it was? Someone's rambling on and on. They start bringing the music. Like, I personally believe... You shouldn't say the N-word if you're white. And they're like, is this a cause or is this common knowledge? All right.
Next category.
Sound editing goes to Bohemian Rhapsody, I guess. I mean, I would have given it to First Man personally because that was like one of the best things about that movie.
Yeah,
was,
okay.
Like,
so
First Man
won an award that I don't agree with. So let's just go to that one.
Sound mixing?
No. No, first, like...
What? This is the end
first
of their
man
awards.
Won something.
Oh, First Man. Oh, I thought you meant Bohemian Rhapsody. First Man won sound mixing. Visual effects went to First Man. Here's the thing, man.
Here's the thing. Avengers Infinity War, that movie was 98% VFX. And all of them were
And
good.
Maybe 1% of them, you were like, hey, that looks goofy.
And compared to Black Panther, whose CGI effects were terrible.
Yeah.
You're going to have a movie that's literally mostly CG effects... Thanos being quite literally, quite possibly the best motion capture I've ever seen put
in
film.
Oh, it is. No, it is.
And you're not
going to
give it an award?
There's no better performance captured character in history, I think. Like Gollum is great because like the performance is great and the effects are like good enough to get it there. But Thanos is like on a whole nother level.
Yeah. Like, literally, and, like, when you look at, like, the 4K, like, Blu-ray, you see that shit.
It's insane.
It's insane.
But the thing is, I don't want to take anything away from First Man because their effects were great. And it's, like, they're good enough to where you're just like, yeah, he's in space right now. But it also had its, like, moments where it was, like, a little bit janky if you know what to look for, which is also, like...
Oh, well, that's the thing if, like, you're into, like, the movie itself.
But the thing is, man... It's frustrating because I don't know who votes on these because the thing is, I feel like people who aren't visual effects people shouldn't be voting on the visual effects Oscar, because at the Visual Effects Society Awards, which is all the people who are in the effects industry, Avengers won every single award it was nominated for because it's that good.
I guess it just didn't want to win any awards.
Yeah, and then also Spider-Man won like every single one it was nominated
for.
Oh,
that's true.
Because they also do animated movies at that one. But man, oh man, am I frustrated. Like, good for you, First Man, but God, give Avengers something. Because I wanted so bad to say Oscar-winning Avengers Infinity War.
Yeah.
But at least it got nominated.
Yeah, at least
again.
I don't care. They get nominated every time. It's not an honor anymore.
For Avengers? No,
for,
they don't.
For every Avengers movie has been nominated for Best VFX. Visual Effects. Yeah, yeah. It's not an honor anymore. It's expected. They should win. Avengers 1 should have won.
They'll probably give it to Endgame. That's the thing. That's the reason I'm not too like...
Because they're holding it back.
I feel like for Endgame, they may give it to him.
I'm scared, man. I feel like even if Endgame's like the greatest movie ever made, they're going to give it nothing.
Probably not.
Writing, adapted screenplay goes to Black Klansman in one of my favorite Oscar moments of the night, Spike Lee jump-hugging Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got so... That dude, Sam Jackson was hyped up. When he saw the names on the list, he was like, he like freaked out.
Because honestly, that was Spike Lee's first Oscar.
Yeah, it was his first.
Yeah.
And it's been, 30 years since his first nomination?
Massive.
And he said, do the right thing in his speech.
Oh, he did?
Yeah. Did you not see his speech?
No.
His speech was, I'll be honest, not great.
I don't like Spike Lee. I think he's an asshole.
He had this paper, and half the words he said, I did not understand.
He probably makes really good movies. I haven't seen Do the Right Thing.
He doesn't make really good movies all the time.
Yeah, but his movies are very good. So annoying. Like, and we'll get to it when the best picture is, but this is good. He won an Oscar. That's awesome. But every interview I've seen of him, he's a dick. I don't like Spike Lee at all.
Public image.
I think it depends. From what I've seen from him, he can be a douchebag. Yeah.
Oh, no. I definitely agree with that. I think he definitely thinks he's way better than he is.
He's
which
kind
is
of
not.
Put himself up.
Like, he always put his head high on a pedestal and then like criticized directors like Tyler Perry and shit like that.
Dude,
like,
but when
you're
Tyler
doing
Perry
almost
is
the same shit.
And he directed the campaign of the NBA.
I was about to ask that. Yeah, he's like, you guys should be doing Oscar caliber things like directing the NBA 2K19
and
campaign.
Only did he direct
and
the
it's
game,
not good.
He shows up in the credits and goes, "Hey guys, I directed this game." And it's like, dude,
he wants
just
to
do
make
it. Get your check and leave. You don't have to like take credit for it.
You don't have to be like, "It's me, Spike Lee. I'm dressed as Waluigi from." but he was very emotional and it was really nice. And he also got mute. He got bleeped right at the beginning. And I looked up why, and it's because he got up there and the first thing he said on the microphone is, "Don't you put on that effing timer?" Because they put on the speech timer every time.
Oh yeah.
But then he pulled out his like paper and he was trying to read from it, and he like reread the same line like three times
was
by
just
accident.
So excited or what?
I think so.
Oh, okay.
Because he's like shaking, so he was like,
he really wanted that.
I don't think he thought he was gonna win.
I don't think he did either.
Yeah,
I think he assumes he's never gonna win.
Which, except if you're him, can you blame him? Because he's been nominated a couple of times and he's never won.
That's true.
Yeah,
and because a lot of people, I feel like, have your mentality of him, Jake, where he's like, kind of seems like a douchebag, which I will agree with. Like the way he treats other people. And other people's like movies, I don't like.
Oh,
I'm
yeah,
like, dude,
no.
You gotta like, you're not the only person in town who knows how to make a movie.
Well, it's like when comedians or artists, whoever, start bashing other artists, and it's like they're if they're obviously like doing something morally wrong for sure.
Yeah,
they're just making movies.
And the thing is, it's like, it's like to an extent, because it's like if someone's like. Talking about, they're like, "Oh yeah, Gotti, that movie was real bad. I saw it." I wouldn't be like, "What a douchebag." But it's like, but then you have directors like,
but here's the thing.
What's his face?
Spike
Clerks.
Lee probably knew some people who worked on Gotti.
Maybe.
They all like everyone works on a lot of different.
Gotti's a masterpiece.
He probably knew a few people, so the respectful thing to do would be like, I know a lot of people, and they did their jobs okay, but no.
Yeah, they'd be like, that one just didn't turn out the way they wanted it to.
Lee does it is he likes to just straight up like bash other directors.
Yeah, and he but that, yeah, and I the thing is, but then but then there's directors out there that are like that are what's his face from Clerks? Dang it,
Kevin Smith,
who's like he will not say a bad thing about a movie unless it's like the most atrocious thing he's ever seen.
Oh yeah,
like you had to really put his feet to the fire before he was like, yeah, Justice League was not that good.
And here's the thing.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I will say though, the thing with Spike Lee is though that before Ryan Coogler, before Ava DuVernay, before a lot of black filmmakers, he was one of the only black directors that actually made quality stuff.
Oh well, yeah.
And so I feel like he deserves the respect. He just needs to handle it better himself.
Yeah.
You know, that's the reason why I'm like that's the reason why I can't really hate Spike Lee. Even though like there are movies that he made that I hated, but like, you know, that's a lot of artists and shit.
When he acts like that, it feels like the causes he's promoting with his films are less important than himself. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, yeah. The Right Thing is about this, and that's the important thing. But then he gets so hung up about how he didn't win. And I'm like, dude, your movie has done so much more for that
for the community?
For the community than that award would have done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like winning, it's just a stupid award, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. But let me tell you about original screenplay.
All right. Yeah. We
got
to go.
We got two awards left. And
those were two different categories. I forgot.
Yeah. We got two awards left, and they both went to the same movie. Spoilers. Best original screenplay went to Green Book, and Best Picture. We'll just do both of them. Because they're both the same. Best Picture also went to Green Book, which I was shocked. I'll tell you what.
Everyone was shocked, to be honest.
Here's the thing, man. By this time in the Oscars, I was like, this is anyone's game. Because the awards, it wasn't like one movie was cleaning up. They were all over the place.
And
I was like, at this point, I won't be surprised if they're like, it goes to Black Panther. And I was like, low key hoping for it. I was like, I'll be.
I was only hoping for the sake that it was a superhero movie winning. You know what I mean?
I wanted to see Kevin Feige get up there, and I wanted to see Ryan Coogler, and I wanted to see them give a speech. Everyone in that theater would have lost their mind.
The whole internet would have fucking erupted.
I would have been so happy. But Green Book, let me tell you about Green Book. I really like Green Book.
Yeah, you like
it? I watched it, and here's the thing. It's like a feel-good movie, and people are upset about that. Because they're like, because the complaint is that people don't like that it tells the story from the white man's perspective, and they don't like that for me it's the dude, it's about the guy wrote it about his dad, so I'm like, of course he's gonna write it from his dad's perspective because that's where he's heard the story all along. But people are more upset because
I don't know
that much about it, but I also know that people seem to be upset that what was I gonna say here? That it they said it feels like an older fashion movie that to them is like, this is what they're saying about it. Feels like it's designed to make white people feel good about like solving racism or whatever.
I was gonna ask you, is it like the type of movie to have like the white savior complex?
See, and that's the thing.
That's the reason why people hated La La Land.
A lot of other
movies.
Wait, La La Land?
Yeah, because like
wait, why?
Because it was some shit. I don't agree with this, but
that's
like
the opposite though. Because freaking what's his face? Well, John Legend shows up and offers him the career.
No. Well, it was because like, you know, because jazz is such like a black infused thing, and like the fact that Ryan Gosling was like, oh, you have to love jazz and all this shit, and the fact that he's trying to keep like the integrity of jazz and not John Legend doing, you know, it's just like that kind
I
of
feel
thing.
Like that's really
I think that's
reaching.
Yeah,
I think that's really
and that,
stupid,
and that's also.
But,
it's worse to it's a to a worse extent with
but it's
that
about
movie,
a white guy
but
and
that's
a Japanese girl, right?
All right, but all right, go
it's
ahead,
like
go ahead.
To a worse extent in that movie, but that's kind of for me personally how I feel people are reacting to this one. I'm like, dude, that is not you will watch this movie and you'll go, that is not what they meant, and you know it, and you're putting your own thing on this. And it's, that's what bugs me.
People going, oh, I think another movie was better than this, and I'm going to give you a really weird reason to justify
it. And here's the thing.
But that's what
happened. There's like, because there is a scene, but the whole point of the movie is this guy who is a genius, like, musician chooses to go on a tour in the Deep South because he's trying to make a difference. And he has to have this guy come along with him who's white, because at the time he needs that guy to be like, because Viggo Mortensen's character is like a bouncer, essentially. Yeah. And he needs him to kind of be like the muscle. And and so that's why people are saying like, oh, it's like the white savior movie because he needs him. I'm like,
oh, well, but that's, I feel like that's said by people who never even saw it then, in that case. Because if that's you're saying the thing is, if I have come in that context, then it seems like it doesn't seem like.
But there are scenes where, like, there's a scene where, like, he's getting beat up and, like, Viggo has to come and, like, pull the guys off of him and stuff. But for me, watching it, and I will say this. Listen, man, I'm a white guy. I don't watch this movie through the same lens as other people. So if that's, like, genuinely how people, like, watched it and as they watched it felt, I can't say anything about that. But me watching it, I'm just like, these are two guys that are friends, and or at least at that point in the movie, it's like his job and he's doing it because it's his job. But like, to me, it was just a movie about two people becoming friends. And I did think that the like racism is bad part of the story was like super heavy-handed and not like subtle in any way. And there's like a part where they like get back up to the north and they get pulled over by cops and they're like, uh-oh, and the cop's like, you got a flat tire, let me help you fix that. And they're like, oh, we escaped racism because we're in the north. And I'm like, that's not how it is.
Oh yeah,
people
no.
are racist everywhere.
I think what you mean by saying like it was heavy-handed, like I think you're saying like it wasn't like creative in how they presented it.
No, and it's like it's
racism
like,
back then was heavy-handed.
No. But I mean, like, I mean, in the way
how.
That.
Yeah, but like, yeah. I know you mean, like, how it, like, yeah.
Like, in the beginning of the movie, Viggo Mortensen's character has, like, these two black plumbers come work in their house, and his wife gives them, like, some water or tea or whatever in cups, and then, like, they put the cups in the sink, and then, like, he walks over to the sink, and later his wife sees that, like, he put both of the cups in the trash. And I'm like, that was, I mean, like, the way they do it is, like, not. Where it's like,
but I feel
like
a person back then would do that.
Yeah, I know, but
that doesn't feel heavy-handed.
But it's
the North thing feels
it's it, the way I'm explaining it doesn't. But the North thing was definitely the worst by far. I was like, come on, guys.
The thing is, like with the white savior thing, there's only like one movie in particular that I think that actually has that kind of feel.
Which what?
Avatar, like the James Cameron movie.
Oh yeah, and that didn't. And no one said anything about that.
Because they're blue.
Hey, here's the thing, fellas. Avengers should have been nominated for Best Picture because Thanos is the only purple man left in the galaxy. He's the ultimate minority. There's only one of him.
You had to chime that in there.
God.
Is that insensitive to say? Probably. Is that the thing that'll ruin my career?
James, I think you just insulted our purple demographic.
It's a joke. It's a joke.
Fake purple guy.
Now all of our purple people are going to like enrage on Twitter against our podcast.
He's not the only purple guy.
He's the only purple one.
But yeah. But I at the end of the day, I like Green Book.
What I was saying earlier about like the intention, it's like it still is. I get if people didn't like it, like whatever. But
yeah.
The intention of the movie had a good. I'm assuming it had a good intention.
No, yeah.
Which
yeah.
is why people need to like, kind of like. See, I mean, I'm not one of those people who are. I like to like look at what
from
it is
all different,
well, from because, all different angles, and then like use my judgment there. I'm not gonna because I hate to be that kind of person. Be like, that's racist without any sort of context or any sort of reason. You know me. I don't throw that kind of thing out there.
Yeah,
you know me.
I know you.
And I'd be. I think
I
if you guys.
Still
yeah.
Something.
No,
I think I finished explaining.
I think you were saying something. I think you forgot. I think you genuinely
I probably
forgot.
Did forget.
I'm sorry.
Because I was looking at your handsome face.
Oh, thanks, man.
But I think
you were saying that you like to look at it from all different angles. I said that I was like, oh, well, the intention behind it was good. And you were like, but I like to look at it from the other angles. And then you were going to say something else.
Oh, yeah. I'm just saying, like, I just want to, because you were describing it in such detail, I really want to watch it to kind of get my view on it.
And that's the thing. And I'm interested in what you guys think because I would love to, like, if you guys just happen to watch this movie before next week, if we could all sit down and, like, talk about it again, I'm, like, genuinely curious because maybe I'm just, like, not paying attention and I'm just, like, taking it at face value, which I think if you take a movie at face value and it seems like a positive thing, then that's probably... This is made by the guy who made Dumb and Dumber.
And Dumb and Dumber is one of the greatest films of
all time. He is clear. Yeah, but it's like...
His track record is not good, but Dumb and Dumber is a fantastic movie, dude.
He made Dumb and Dumber 2 also.
Which, like I said.
Yeah, and that's the thing, man. This guy's also been getting in trouble because apparently he like flashed a bunch of people on set.
Now, I heard about that.
When he was shooting like Dumb and Dumber.
I heard about that today. Is it like a thing where all the people on the cast were like, he flashed me. Is that what's going on?
I don't know because I haven't read that much about it. So I shouldn't say because I don't want to like spread anything false. But for me, from what I understand, it's like he was coming from a place of comedy. And I hate using the excuse of like at the time. But like at the time, it was just like even in the Mr. Rogers documentary, there like that's on Mr. Rogers. There was a guy who would always like flash his butt at people, and everyone was like, "That's hilarious."
But butts are better than.
But I feel like there are people. Yeah. I feel like that would. Oh, there it goes. I feel like that's a thing where like maybe the director of Dumb and Dumber was under the impression that everybody was in on the joke, and maybe there was like a few people that kind of took it.
There was one guy who was like, "I don't want to see that, but I'll just keep it to myself."
That would be me. I don't like when people show me their wiener.
Well, it's like.
I don't think anybody likes it when people show.
I think what we're learning a lot from all these kind of things is it's like you're working at a place of like a movie is like a business,
but it
like,
doesn't feel like a business.
It feels like we're all just chilling, but you kind of just people are just learning like, oh, I need to treat it like it's
exactly
a business.
Yeah.
And
these
aren't my like best buddies. Like some of them could be, but while I'm at work, this is like a place of.
It's
business.
Like you don't do what is described as locker room talk on a set. You
and
know?
It's like
hey, where do I hang up my shoes?
And it's like, you can have fun, but we have fun without showing each other our penis.
Exactly.
I've never showed you my penis for a laugh.
And if hasn't gotten that desperate yet.
If I am that desperate for a laugh, dude.
You're off the podcast.
I'm off.
Yeah, you're off.
You guys go, he's showing us his penis, how far he's come, how much he's
You went falling. From respecting the pouch, the greatest joke ever, to showing us your dick.
Yeah, there's no respect.
You're like, I got to get that laugh back.
Come on,
please.
That laugh.
But,
no, I see Peter Farrelly, and I'm like, dude, that's
okay.
A good joke.
Well, that's the Oscars. How long has it been? Because like we were on a while, bro.
Hour 45.
Oh wow, it feels like 2 hours.
Yeah, but that was this is a good one. Let me pull up the emails, and we'll get
the
heck
out of
here.
Besides Green Book, no, are you going to mention the fact that we saw How to Train Your Dragon 3?
Well,
but
I'm going
to
see it tomorrow, so we can
boy.
Just talk about it later.
Oh, this
okay,
is
we'll
oh,
talk
this
about
isn't
later.
It. Okay, this is my email.
I was
like,
okay,
good
yeah, Jake,
God.
I can't wait for you to see that movie because I really have a lot of thoughts on that movie.
In
I thought
a good
it was
way or a, like always.
Always.
I have mostly good thoughts about it.
Mostly
I hope you see
thoughts.
It in a theater that actually freaking turns the volume up by God.
Yeah, that's part of what ruined the experience, but I feel like as a story, like there are things I could have think they could have did better.
Well, yeah.
Just like more nitpicks.
So on the guys, before you do the emails, I feel like we've got some from a couple new people. Our Instagram, our last one has 1,000 views or something.
Yeah.
So what?
Our last Instagram preview has 1,000 views.
What?
Dang.
As opposed to the one before that, which has 32.
How in the world? Oh yeah, I should give you money, right?
Yeah.
I owe you like
$10.
I have $9 in my bank account right now.
Oh boy.
You do not
have guys.
To, okay. Oh, yeah.
Our first email comes from Harrison Cothran. He says, Oscars part one. Part
Jeez.
One, Harrison. Dear KFKG, the Oscars are about to start. I want to make some predictions. Bohemian Rhapsody will win for things, even though as an actual film, it is not the best besides Rami Malek performance. Also, they will get political and it will be a catastrophe because of no host. You were wrong. It was actually...
Wrong.
Really quick, I think personally, what they should do
Did
in the
you
future.
Like it with no host or
what? Well, I tuned in about 5 minutes late, so I didn't see how they opened it. I thought it was good without no host until the very end when they presented the award, and she's like, "Oh well, I guess it's over," and then it just cut off, and it was like the end.
Go home.
Yeah, and so I think in the future, what their host should be is literally like a 5 or 10 minute opening monologue, and then at the end being like. Thanks for coming, guys. I'm whoever, and they do nothing else. And I think the show will be huge. It'll take a huge benefit from it. But because
it's already so long.
Your predictions were partially right. I guess Bohemian Rhapsody did win for things, which is a pretty broad statement.
It won a lot.
My actually. Prediction is awards will be given out. he says middle of Oscars part two. I can't believe Infinity War didn't win Best Visual Effects. First Man effects were okay, but Thanos looks so real and lifelike. I'm mad. Also, The Favorite should have won Best Original Screenplay. It was funny, quirky comedy, and Green Book's moral was racism is bad. Which is true. That's the whole point of the movie.
Such an original thing.
At least if you're going with that theme, at least make it more original. Rant over. It is like that, where Green Book does feel like, that's one thing, Green Book does feel like, I've seen this message many times.
We skipped what I was going to say about Spike Lee, because I kept saying, well, wait until the bet. But when he got mad, everyone said he got mad when it was announced it was Green Book and tried to leave.
And
charged the door to leave. He was so mad it wasn't his movie. And then Jordan Peele had to calm him down. And I'm like, you bitch. It's like, dude, you won an award. Like, and he got up afterwards and they were like, hey, are you excited about winning an award? And he didn't say yes. He just goes, man, I always lose to a movie about driving people around. And everyone, and I read that, and it read like a cool, quirky thing he said. But in the moment, when you watch him say it, he looks so butthurt.
Yeah, you don't. It sounds like, oh well, you know, I always seem to like saying it like a joke. You know,
always seem to lose. Like, and he said it like that. If he said it like, always lose to driving people, it would have been funny.
Yeah, if he was like, hey, what's the deal with me losing to driving people?
It would have been hilarious. Yeah. If it was like, if he stood up abruptly, like, this is bullshit, and then like walks out the door.
It would have been hilarious if he stood up and went, driving again?
But then and then everyone in the audience that asked him that question, he says that, and they all go...
It would be so funny if Jordan Peele like tried to calm him down. Was like, should have made a driving movie.
Yeah,
they were like, does this Oscar like make up for you losing Do the Right Thing so long ago? And he didn't even answer her question. He just goes, you know, I feel bad. Like, I lost. And I was like, dude, you didn't lose.
What a good job. What a douchebag.
But then
they
asked him about him leaving when that one was nominated, and he was like, didn't really answer, and then he just kept sipping his drink, and then he goes, it was like I was courtside and the ref made a bad call, and so I threw my arms up, you know, ref made a bad call.
What a bitch.
And I was like, all right, dude, I do think, and let me be clear for the audience, I don't think Green Book should have won Best Picture, but it's not for the same reasons
everyone else is saying.
If
it had not won Best Picture and it just had been up there, people would have been like, it's okay.
Yeah, people would have been like, that's
a
pretty
won
good
Best
movie.
Picture, people got pissed. Just like people were pissed that Moonlight won when everyone was like, La La Land should have won.
Oh, no, man. Everyone was. I experienced the opposite. It was because everyone was like so sure La La Land was going to win that they were like, La La Land sucks.
Yeah,
Moonlight's
La La Land
a masterpiece.
Had a lot of hate because
really?
It was nominated. Yeah.
I felt like it was.
Because
like
it seemed like such a clear front runner.
They juked him and people were mad because they were like, yeah, you gave
me. I was mad because La La Land is like, James. Is just. Straight up, Jake, it probably was just me that you're remembering because I was upset because I loved La La Land. And I don't think it's a white savior movie. But I'm white, so who knows?
I mean, I didn't think it was either.
Oscars Part 3 from Harrison Cawthorn. I'm so glad Spider-Verse won Best Animated Feature and that Olivia Colman won. She deserved it. Green Book winning seemed the best choice. It was the most Oscar-worthy film besides Roma. Well, Harrison, your opinion doesn't count because you're white.
I wish we had seen these so we could like rebuttal
against. The thing is, like,
what if I loved Roma and you being like, it's
yeah,
so
no,
boring,
the thing,
I was like, no, it's not. You don't understand.
The thing is, man,
but I can't.
But then this podcast would be engaging. We can't do that.
It's got to be all of us going, I agree.
Yeah,
yeah.
Here's the thing, man. We talked about that. Next,
thank you.
We got an email from Sarah Kiner. Who says?
That's a good picture.
Who says? Cats and dogs episode. She says, "Hi, fellas. First off, LMAO. I got an anonymous shout out, and it brought me life. Oh, this is who asked us to be closer to the mics.
Oh, nice.
Second, hoping all is well. I've been a listener for a few episodes now, and want to holler to congratulate y'all on a huge step forward in the improvement of distance from your mic.
thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I really appreciate your efforts and can finally hear everyone's gorgeous voice clearly solicit Spring Green.
Speak for yourself, okay? I don't have a gorgeous voice.
TM. She put TM, Spring Green, TM. I enjoyed this week's episode about cats and dogs. Definitely one of my favorite childhood movies. Jeff Goldblum is one of those eternal silver foxes. If you ever do the busy 90s dad, don't forget about this gem, the dad from Jumanji.
Who becomes a hunter.
He also plays the hunter. Dude, we gotta, it's in.
We have to do that episode now.
Sarah, thank you. That's kindest regards, Sarah. Busy she dad. Says keep up the good work. We'll try our very best. I hope you like political discussions.
I hope we've been keeping our mouths pretty good distance this whole episode. Sometimes
Jake,
I
you haven't been doing the great job. I'll be honest.
Up. Wait,
You've
I
been talking
been?
Over your mic for a
Dear
lot of it.
God,
and I
I'm
didn't
sorry.
Want to just keep calling you out.
No, you should have.
I just felt like...
It's kind of on you. You should have told me.
You know what? I'm
it's
sorry.
The blame is kind of on you, Jake.
I mean, this is how I am.
Guys, Harrison Cothran sends me Respect the Pouch script.
God,
before you read
the
rest of this,
huh?
click the link and play this music along with the script.
James, don't read
it. Okay, Harrison.
We've been here
well,
for
I'm doing
while.
It. The script starts here. James, Jake, Hiram together. The pouch. The pouch. The pouch. The pouch. James says the rest. Do you respect the pouch? I respect the pouch.
Oh, you wanted us all to say the pouch.
Well, we're not all sitting in a place where we can see the computer. The pouch knows all. I am the pouch. You are the pouch. We are the pouch. The pouch is everyone. The pouch can't be stopped. The pouch will destroy all. Before there was anything, there was nothing.
Jesus
and before
Christ.
There was nothing, there were monsters. And before there were monsters, there was the pouch. The pouch will outlive us all. At the end of all things, the pouch will remain for eternity. The pouch is within. The pouch is within. The pouch is within. The pouch is within. You
forgot a couple.
The pouch is within. You see when you look at the yin-yang, the white represents the pouch and the black represents the pouch. The gray represents the intricate inside job carried out by reptilians. The pouch hung on the cross for our sins. When the Romans pierced its body, he bent over by the straw because it's hard to get the straw. You know how it goes. But once the Roman soldier drank from the pouch, he gained immortality. The pouch can give, but it can also take away. Be good to the pouch and respect it, or the pouch will destroy you. The pouch knows all. Respect the pouch. Thank you, Harrison. I hope I read that at a good enough speed.
You know what? I was wrong, Harrison. Thank you for sending us this.
You know what? That was good.
Our last email is from John Eimer. He says, Oscar question. Don't you think it's dumb that a movie called The Favorite wasn't the favorite for Best Picture? I think it was some people's favorite.
The thing that it went wrong, and I think this pissed off the Academy, they put a fucking a U in it.
They spelled it the British way, and the Academy is an American voting
they
body.
They went, are you condescending?
They went, that's not how you spell it.
They were like, are you
patronizing?
Patronizing.
Are you patronizing
us?
No, they said patronizing because it's America.
Oh, you're right. Are you patriotizing us?
Are you patriotizing us?
They get it wrong.
We're the patriots.
We don't like how you spell color either.
Yeah, color with a U.
With a U?
Get out of here.
Color.
I will say the biggest thing about The Favorite for me that was weird was, and this is going to be a weird critique, I was very aware that it wasn't taking, like, that it was like a modern day movie the entire time. Like, you know how some period pieces, it like really makes you feel like you're in the time period. This one did not do that at all. And I think it's because a lot of their shots are with like weird, like, fisheye lenses, and they do a lot of like whip pans. And I'm like,
is it more of a comedy than a...
It's definitely like very much a half and half, like, It's
Have
more
you seen
of a
the lobster. Is it like that?
I haven't seen the lobster, kind of, but it's like it's a drama that's like got kind of a like comedic tone to it.
Comedy drama.
It's like action.
I can't wait for people to review this episode and be like, "Man, I love that thorough analysis of the Oscar movies where only one guy saw them."
We'll talk about them more later as they see them.
And to points where I'm like, "What's that one about?" It's like, these guys don't know anything.
So I thought this was
fellas,
the Kung Fu Kings of Geekdom.
Jake, the Kung Fu Kings of explaining plots to Jake.
That's what it should be. Guys, this has been a unique episode of the podcast. Lots of political discussion. I said some things I may regret one day.
But you're a good guy.
I don't think you do, James.
I really have never heard anything.
You have not said anything remotely controversial that would get people mad.
Well, who knows?
If anything, I've said more things that will like get people mad in this podcast than anyone else here.
Nothing you said makes me think less of you guys. But somebody might get mad at you. You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you
better talk into your mic better.
If someone isn't mad at us, haven't pissed off Nazis right by now, I'm doing something.
Well,
wrong,
I guess that's the one group you want to piss off.
Yeah, I want to piss off Nazis.
Well, but
and
then
white
they'll attack me.
And those racist white people in the North who think they're better than everybody, and those politically correct pro black people who watches Dear White People and think that's the best thing ever, and I want to piss off those people.
No, keep going.
And I want to piss off my family who think that art is not really a real job. Yeah,
and now you've got a real job.
Some of them do.
Well, I'll tell you this,
Hiram.
Do you
realize that all of these people in Hollywood who
make millions of dollars
and they're artists?
Yeah, my dad used to think that, and he realized that, like, as like I went on, he's like, dude, you gotta write scripts.
Yeah,
yeah. And I was like, oh yeah, you're right,
Hiram, your dad's one of my favorite people on the planet. Let me tell you, the last thing I'll say before we sign off is there was a lot of jokes that were about Green Book when it won. One was like, it was all like Green Book voted for Obama. Green Book loved. It was like all like stuff that was like, it was like Green Book is friends with, and it was all these like other like movies about like the black experience. Like it was like all this stuff. And even though I was like, I still thought it was funny. I'll be honest.
Oh yeah,
a good joke's a good joke, yeah, fellas.
No, of course. But yeah, no, that's it. That's the.
Oh yeah, I gotta do my pick too. Sorry.
Oh yeah,
Zoe's
I was about
right
to ask
on
you.
Time.
What's
with
your
that?
Pick?
You. Good job, platonic friend.
Well, I brought it so that you could borrow it.
You better put your mouth on that mic.
Sorry. So I brought it so you could.
I think
so
the side of your mic is here.
Hello.
I don't know.
Good job letting James borrow that.
Who knows?
Good job.
You know what? Let me check, dude. Was talking right into the correct
into the right one.
That's embarrassing.
Hey, good job giving James the copy of it where I can't read it. Fucko.
I have them in individuals too.
Oh
never
mind.
Got them bad. All right, Jake, what's
Hiram,
your pick?
I've thought of everything.
Jake, what's your pick?
You have.
Hiram, you know what? I'll kill you. Okay.
Jake, what's your pick?
I look forward
to
it.
Here first. When a cop is like, "Well, we listened to his podcast and he threatened to kill Hiram, and we found Hiram dead," is probably Jake. And I was like, "You know what? You got me.
You got me."
My pick is by Brian K. Vaughan. It's a comic book, by the way. You got to do some reading.
That's okay. I've read in my day.
Brian K. Vaughan is the guy who's responsible for the good seasons of Lost.
I'm familiar. I'm a big fan.
And Paper Girls is really good. It's a lot. It's like Stranger Things and Goonies and all that stuff, but with a bunch of girls.
I'm down.
And it's really good.
I'm down.
It's like
everyone knows you can't make good stories about women.
I'm already loving the color because I love the 80s nostalgia. So like it looks like exactly.
No, I'm 100% in.
It's really good. So it's the first six issues, and that's it.
And luckily,
and just for the record, I've also been to an extent keeping up with Deadly Class,
the show.
Very good.
How many have you seen?
I'm behind by 1.5 episodes.
You've really been keeping up that?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Did you
but,
see
well,
the one where they go to Las Vegas?
I was in the middle of that one, and good God, the effects in that show are excellent.
That episode is the best one
they
so
are
far.
Movie quality. Like, they are like high-budget movie quality effects.
And if you ever want to just like... how are you watching it?
On their website.
Now, if you want to, I already bought the season on Amazon, like pre-ordered it.
Yeah.
So when it comes on, I just watch it.
Yeah.
So you can always just use my Amazon.
Interesting.
Here's
I might
thing.
Take you up
if
on
you don't
that.
Want to go through the sci-fi website because it's kind of
here's,
an asshole.
Here's the thing. Luckily for you guys, especially you, Jake, I finally got my ADD medication.
Oh, yeah. I heard
humble
it.
Brag.
I heard
it. And I've been on it like for the past day and a half. And it is
you
done,
feel better?
It is done. It's a little bit effective, but I feel like you can hide. Like,
it's not super dosage. Effective.
No, yeah. No.
Well, all right. You heard it here first, guys. Paper Girls.
Paper Girls. It's really, really
Paper
good.
Girls. Are they? Do they deliver the news? Paper?
They do. They're actually Paper Girls.
I did it.
And
fellas.
They get trapped in different dimensions and stuff, and it's super good.
I could have just not read it. I would have totally just bamboozled you. James, what do you think about this book? They deliver newspapers,
and
I take a risk and go, they do.
They do, how'd you know? And you go, and they do a lot of other things. Man, you're right, like Harrison is vague. It'll win some things.
Yeah, it'll win. My prediction is that things will happen in this comic.
It sure will.
Tune in next week when I'm right.
It's by Brian K. Vaughan, and it's drawn by Cliff Chang, and colored by Matt Wilson, and letters are by Jared K. Fletcher.
I think Cliff is a funny name.
Cliff. And it's a beautiful book.
Do you think he always ends his books on a cliffhanger?
God.
All right, we're out of time on the Kung Fu Kings of Geekdom podcast. We're 2 hours, so let's end this boy.
Guys, be safe out there. I'm tired.
Arrivederci.
And we'll be back.
Peter Parker. Spider-Ham, Spider-Ham, friendly neighborhood Spider-Ham. Spins a web, that's the gig. Kinda weird, cause he's a pig. Look out, here comes the Spider-Ham.
Blame out!
Life is a plate of bacon. When trouble's in the making, you'll find the Spider-Ham.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
What a pig.
I'm right here.